people who burped before the show today.
Please remember these burps. The wonderful Miss Terry.
Tim McWilliams. Charlie Broyhill. Christine Kerner.
Then here's me.
Mike.
Thank you.
Buzz Girdley. Finally, Rob A. Spiewak.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Oh, now, honey, me is nothing to be afraid of.
We did the last time we went into the District of Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
But if you remember the time we were at Nation,
it was the first really, like, out-of-control great show we've ever had.
Right, and the management there is fantastic. We know that we have no problems with management at Nation. So come on down and see the type of Las Vegas-style show that, frankly, you deserve.
Absolutely.
It's our way of saying, again, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for supporting us. Free show next Wednesday night.
Thank you.
Wanted to get this one in before the Labor Day holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Nation in D.C. next Wednesday night. We will see ye there.
Our salute to summertime.
Now, sorry about the tape on Friday. Oh, we're done with that. The reason we had the tape on Friday was because there was a Redskins home game on Friday, which means I had to go out to the stadium to do the pregame show. And the one feeling I got from getting to the stadium on Friday afternoon was, again, a sense of newfound respect for those people, not only in D.C., but those people around the country who have to drive their automobiles while we are doing this show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That I left the radio station at 2:30.
Plenty of time to get out to the ballpark.
Right. I did not get to the ballpark until 4:30.
Wow.
Because it was a true cluster clock.
It's amazing, especially when there's a ball game.
Well, I got out of the stadium. I said to somebody, what is it? And they said, what is what? And I said, it took me 2 hours to get across the Beltway, roughly a 23-mile trip. It took me 2 hours. They said, hey, that's how it is every single day.
Wow. What it is this wonderful Washington metropolitan area we live in. We welcome all the high-tech firms to come in here. We say, come on in. We'll give you incentives. We want you to come to our area. Then we say, hey, listen, we've got plenty of workers for you because we're building all these new homes. And then they say, oh, infrastructure. Infrastructure like building roads. We don't have it. You're not qualified.
You know, it's not only here. It's everywhere.
Right.
But it's especially bad here. So hats off to you guys. Jesus, I don't know how you do it. So I got to the stadium, and I got there later than I like getting there. The pregame show started at 6, and I didn't get there till 4:30. And I like getting there because I like going down on the field before the game to talk with the Redskins coaches and walk around and feel like a big shot. And well, this year, all of that has changed.
Really?
Not only for me, but for everybody in the media.
Really? What are they doing?
Well, it's an entirely new regime with the Redskins.
Oh, so you're getting like more access now than
ever? No. We are getting less access.
Oh.
All of the passes that the members of the media get say no field access on them. Now, you know, it's not a gigantic deal to me or to Larry. You know, we do the pregame show. But I do know that our friend Rennie Knott from Channel 7 was pretty pissed.
Sure.
Because he couldn't get on the field to do his shot during the 5 o'clock news.
Jesus. I mean, those guys do the sports. That's their backdrop is being down on the field.
Right. Rennie couldn't get down because he didn't have a pass. And I know he was especially pissed at one point when he was up in the stands bitching about it. And I was down on the field because I know the guys. They're the same security people that have been working there for the last 5 years that we've been doing the games.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was, on my pass where it said no field access, I just took a Sharpie and wrote through the word no. So it just said field access.
Field access, right.
So I went down there and they said, hey, we're real tough this year about getting you on the field. And I said, oh, no. I got the pass, field access. And they said, okay, go ahead.
There you go.
I just got done with Rennie Knott telling me how he wants to get a big petition going.
Sure.
For members in the media, it's just the Redskins, to say let all the guys on the field.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We're talking about how many people here. I mean, we're not talking about the kind of people where it's going to be a stampede. We're, you know, I've been to a lot of games where you see the usual media types walking around the field, and they're not getting in anybody's way.
What I heard was from the new Redskins management that they said there are too many people on the field before the game.
Hmm.
Now, when I looked, I still saw plenty of people who had nothing to do with playing the game, broadcasting the game, writing about the game.
Yeah, they're friends of friends of friends.
I saw no shortage of ladies in mink coats and, you know, kids with their hats on backwards out on the field. So apparently,
right, like friends, yes, wealthy people.
Apparently somebody had to get their passes pulled, and it was the members of the media. But, you know, I'm not here to bitch about that.
No?
I'm here to bitch about some other things.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't have a good time at the ball yard the other night?
No, I did. Oh, at Sam Huff. Let me tell you about Sam Huff.
Oh, that was the big meeting of you and Sam since, you know, you guys had your broadcast and then, you know, you talked about him on Monday.
There was not a meeting because Sam gave me the coldest cold shoulder that, I mean, it was like an Eskimo gave me a cold shoulder.
Really?
I saw him before the game. I saw him before the pregame show.
Were any words exchanged whatsoever?
None. And
did he even try to say anything, or did he just not even give the vibe off that he should approach?
He didn't want it. As a matter of fact, but because things are so cramped in the new broadcast booth at the stadium, See, normally Larry and I had our own little area to do the pregame show, and then there's the area where Sonny, Sam, and Frank called the game from. Well, now, because we're all crammed into this little phone booth area, we do the pregame show from the same spot where they call the game.
Right.
And I was actually using Sam's headset and sitting in Sam's seat. I mean, this is how close we were, that when it came time to switch, when we got done with the pregame show at about 10 minutes before kickoff, we said, okay, kickoff's coming next. Have a great night. See you next week. I mean, Sam was standing one step behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Not a word.
Mm.
Not a word. And I wasn't going to go out of my way, since I'd been getting this vibe from him all night,
right,
that he was pissed. I wasn't going to say anything to him, so I didn't say anything back. So it's a cold war, Mike.
A cold war right now.
It's a cold war, but all of that pales to the stuff I'm going to tell you now.
Anyway.
When I got to the stadium, the first thing I did is I walked up through the entrance where we normally walk through, and as it turns out, what they've done at the Redskins Stadium this year is they've taken all of this area that used to be occupied by radio and TV booths, and they've turned them into luxury suites.
Oh, that's where they got their space for the new luxury suites.
Yes, and what they've done is they've evicted everybody from the radio and television and writing press,
mm-hmm,
with the exception of WJFK Radio.
Right.
We are the only radio booth that is where it used to be. Except the radio booth used to be about the size of the studio that we're in right now.
It seems to be average.
Now it's about a quarter smaller.
Wow.
Okay, because what they've done is they've made the walls smaller so they can fit in more room for the suites, for
right,
the rich people. In the suite next to us, see, it used to be that you'd be lined up there, and there'd be like a TV booth would be next to you, and then you would have another radio booth next to you, and next to that would be the booth for NFL films, and next to that would be the booth for NFL instant replay, and it was all pretty much organized, everybody working on broadcasting the game, doing that stuff.
Right.
Well, now in the booth next to the WJFK broadcast booth, it's a luxury suite that's owned by AOL, and there are no walls. They're all glass windows.
So you're looking at all the new money folks from AOL.
Well, more importantly, they're looking at us.
Yes. They're staring,
and they've also put a window in behind where the broadcast is done, since that area is now a bar restaurant area for the luxury suite holders, meaning that the people from the luxury suite who hold the luxury suites,
people are getting a snootful in the bar, can just stare down at the broadcast and tap on the glass and go,
yeah, right, absolutely right.
You're describing it very well. I can actually picture that going on.
So there's windows on all sides where there are people who are not in the broadcasting business. Again, none of this really bothered me. I'm fine with all of it. I walked in. The first thing I get when I walk in, the guy says to me, excuse me, are you a suite holder? And I said, no, I'm a disc jockey. I'm here to call the game. And he said, I can't let you in.
Cool.
And I said, well, the WJFK press box is right in there. And he says, no, the press box has been moved approximately one quarter of the way around. I said, no. I work for WJFK. This is the other change that they've made this year, that they have guys wearing black suits with earpieces standing at all of the doors.
So security is now even tighter than it's always been tight at the ball games.
Right. No, but this is tight. So I managed to worm my way in. I get inside. I find out where the broadcast booth is. I walk in. I mean, I'm blown away by this, by the fact that behind me it looks like goddamn stately Wayne Manor where Batman lived, and we're going to try to do the broadcast out of this little broom closet where everybody can watch us. And Wendell Hall, Wendell, I love the NRA Hall,
mm-hmm,
is madder than I have ever seen him the whole time I've known him. And we've seen Wendell
have full-fledged meltdowns.
Sure. We've seen Smoot when he's been pissed off.
He's angrier than anybody else then.
But I mean, he's pissed off. Listen to this. He says to me, how do you like the new surroundings? I said, well, and this is before I found out that we couldn't go out on the field or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He said, here's what they told Wendell. When Wendell was moving the equipment in,
mm-hmm,
you know, because it's his job to get the stuff out of the van, bring it into the stadium, all of these gigantic carts and cases that they have on wheels. He was rolling the equipment in, and they wouldn't let him roll the equipment in because they have new wood floors.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So the press box is right where this wonderful little wood-paneled, wood-floored bar is.
So what they did was, he's using the noodle. Here's using the $800 million they've spent on the team. They took out the window in front of the broadcast booth. They had the engineers come over and take the window out. Then they brought a cherry picker down to the level where the seats are. They put one article of equipment at a time on a cherry picker.
Oh, my God.
And hoisted them up to where they were then lifted through the window.
How much time did this take?
This is like, normally it takes Wendell about an hour to set up for the game.
Right.
It took him nearly 8 hours to set up.
Because
everything has to go.
Oh, smooth.
Inside the window. But this is not why he's pissed.
Sure.
But this is not why he's the most pissed. He says to me that somebody from the Redskins has come up to him. Now, keep in mind, Wendell is an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
His job is to get there early, to hook everything up, and make sure everything runs correct.
That is his job. That's all he has to do.
Somebody from the Redskins came by and asked Wendell when he was going to change into his game day clothes. Wendell said,
"Oh my God, who the hell asked him this?
Some guy with the Redskins.
One of the security guys?
No. One of the muckety mucks. One of the Danny's boys. So Wendell said, these are my game day clothes. He had on a pair of jeans and a T-shirt, the same thing he always wears.
Something you're going to wear when you're hauling equipment and you're plugging in wires and you're sweating and getting the broadcast ready. It's engineering.
They told him that the new dress code was no shorts and that everybody must have an official Redskins shirt on. Everybody that's working there.
It's crazy. Everybody that's doing the broadcast?
Yeah. And we got a dress.
Do you have to wear a Redskins shirt now?
I was told that in the future,
God,
I would be well served to go down to the store and buy myself one of them nice $28.
Buy it yourself,
yeah,
though.
Buy myself, but
it won't be. But I mean, it won't be issued.
I got plenty at home. It's not a problem. But
yeah, but what they're saying is it's not. Oh man, I'm getting mad, and I wasn't even there.
Right. So I was told about the dress code, and still I wasn't pissed because it still hadn't affected me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, all of this other crap was just. Were small inconveniences. The fact that the equipment had to be brought up through the window and that we couldn't go down on the field and that there were going to be people watching us, I still wasn't pissed. Even all the stuff with Wendell. When I got pissed was, I guess it was about 15 minutes before the pregame show was going to start. I go down the hall. You know, I've been loading up on my Diet Cokes.
Mm-hmm.
I go down the hall to take a leak and the guy stops me and he says, "Excuse me, this bathroom is for suite holders only." I said, "Hi, I realize that, but we technically we're suite holders. We're doing the Redskins broadcast right here." And he says, "I'm sorry, but it's one of these guys with the thing in his ear."
Unbelievable.
And he said,
"Why are they doing this?"
He says, "You will have to go down to the press box to use the bathroom." Now, under normal circumstances, it's not a problem.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you gotta walk about 500, 600 yards and navigate your way through a bunch of sweaty reporters to use the John. But the point that I tried to make to this guy, they said, "Well, that's fine, I'll do that now. But during the broadcast, our commercial sets are only 90 seconds long. I don't have time to leave this part of the stadium to walk to the press box." And he's, "I'm sorry, I can't help you."
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks for your flexibility.
So no bathroom.
This is all brand new stuff,
right,
that they're implementing, right?
So I go down to the press box. I take a leak.
Where's the old man when you need him?
They've got a Coke machine there. So I get myself a cup and I put some ice in it, a plastic cup, and I fill it up and I walk back down. I come back down and I get to the glass doors and another guy with the earpiece stops me and he says, "Excuse me, you can't bring that in here." I said, "Well, I just got this down at the press box." He says, "I'm sorry, that is a plastic cup. You can't bring that in here." I said, "Well, I'm not going to bring it in here, like in your bar or in your food area.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to bring it right over there, and I'm going to go through that door, and I'm going to shut that door." And he said, "I'm sorry." I mean, you know, the guys that were implementing this policy could not have been nicer,
right?
He said, "It's not me. I can't let you bring any plastic cups in here."
God. And he's being nice, but they're telling you in such a way that really you know they're not going to take any no for an answer.
Yeah,
they're going
right.
to be rigid.
So
turgid.
So as it turns out, during the game, when we wanted a beverage during the pregame show,
they don't bring you up beverages or anything like that.
No. Well, a waiter came in. A waiter came in wearing like a Chippendales outfit, except he had the shirt on.
Right, that'd be funny.
And he had a tray, a sterling silver tray. And he said, "Would you gentlemen like anything to drink?" I said, "Yeah, I'd like a Diet Coke, please." And the guy brought it in, and you know, it was like going to a restaurant where they give you a glass that holds about 6 ounces of Diet Coke, and
you require more fluid during a broadcast.
Yeah, he sat it down and asked if we wanted to run a tab.
Oh, man.
And
welcome to the world of the media.
And the whole experience was just mind-numbing. You know, normally, I linger after the pregame show is over because I like hanging around in that environment. I couldn't wait to get out of there
sure.
and go to my regular seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Fried and I have season tickets. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And, oh, that's the other thing they told me. They said, no visitors. This year, no visitors.
And so you won't be able to bring anybody up to
and I said,
see the show at all?
And I said, okay, I understand that. But listen, my son has come up here for the last 4 years. We always get him a pass. He's kind of a runner up here. He gets stuff. They said, nope, no visitors, no passes. And then when I left before the game started, about 5 minutes before kickoff, I called Charlie Broyhill a little later, and I said, what's the latest up in the Gestapo suite? And he said, well, the new update is that somebody from the organization, the Redskins organization, came in during the actual game broadcast while they were calling the game and counted people in the room and asked how come there were so many people in the room. There were 11 people in the room.
And, oh, my God.
And wanted to know why there were so many people in the room.
Unbelievable. They've gone mental.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie, come here.
They're going media-friendly.
They don't get it.
That's the one part that I need help with, because that's the only part of the story that I don't know firsthand.
They're going goofy over the media.
Yeah,
not how it works.
I mean,
really, there's a great tradition in this country,
right.
of men that cover and women that cover sporting events.
Right.
You kind of treat them nicer than that. You really do.
I think that I've covered it all. The you can't use the bathroom. That there's a dress code.
Exactly.
That the equipment has to be brought in
through the window.
Cherry picker through the window. That we don't get passes. That we can't get on the field. What about when I called you and you said they had there were too many people in the booth?
Well, it was near the middle of the fourth quarter. Some guy came in and he started pointing around with his finger like he was counting, and then he left. Then he came back in and he asked Larry Michael why there were so many people in the booth. And Larry wasn't too happy either. And he said, well, you kicked us off the field. We've got to go somewhere. So we were just waiting in the booth for the postgame show to begin.
Right.
And then he was gone. He came back again, and Larry said, listen, this really needs to be taken up after the game, not now.
Mm-hmm.
And we never saw him again, but we don't know what became of that.
Did
we
you recognize this guy? Was he somebody you'd seen before? Did you get the impression that there are some new bodies around that are involved with this?
Well, you would know better than me. I don't know all the muckety
muck. There were a lot of new people there. And I didn't see a pass on that gentleman either. I don't know how he got there. So he must have snuck in.
Unbelievable. So, I mean, they're really...
It looks great.
Why this atmosphere of tension there? Why? It looks great. You mean the new club level?
Everything they did looks great. And the TV in the bathroom, phenomenal.
I wouldn't know. I was not able to use that bathroom. I was stopped by a gentleman. I heard that there was an actual, like, little flat-screen TV in the bathroom. So when you're peeing, you can actually continue to watch the game, but I wasn't allowed.
That's nice of them.
I wasn't allowed to use that bathroom.
These are the suite owners.
Yes.
These get this privilege.
These
right?
are more than just mm-hmm. suite owners. These are the sweet, sweet, sweet owners.
These are like the most expensive areas to sit in the stadium, mm-hmm. right? And so these are for the rich people. So what he did was he put a lot of money in for the top of the line people. Right. Were there any improvements made in the other areas of the stadium?
Well, he did build an escalator.
Two of them.
Well, he hasn't finished
it
yet, though, right?
Two escalators to get up to the top level of the stadium.
They weren't working for the preseason.
Not yet,
game.
No.
And they're not. Yet.
No, they're not.
Got to get that wood floor down, though.
No equipment on it, either.
Yeah, Wendell was mightily pissed.
Sure.
Mightily pissed.
All this, I guess, wouldn't have been fine, but if they would have at least told us, not the day of the game.
Yeah.
More notice than we were given.
Uh-huh. Is there any... Do you get the any reason why they're making it difficult for the people that are broadcasting
and you know
the game?
And it's not just... For WJFK.
It's for everybody. It's for the TV guys, too.
Rennie Knott was pissed off from Channel 7.
The instant replay booth. They have a big pole in front of them.
Oh, yeah. The guys who do the instant replay, you know, like when the official goes into that peep show on the field to see instant replay, the guys in the stands who are controlling that, they have a pole in front of their booth, so they can't even see out on the field.
And from what I understand, their booth... has been cut in size, so not all of their equipment fits in properly.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. So they could make room for the money-making suite.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
But they got more suites, though.
Well, you got to pay for that roster.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the escalator.
I mean, the priority of the people that are shelling out the bucks. God forbid that we should pay attention to the people that are, you know, showing the replay.
And where was Joe Gibbs?
But that's another thing we noticed. You know, get that ring of good guys that they have around the top of the stadium?
Mm-hmm.
They took down Joe Gibbs' name.
And Art Monk.
Yeah, they're both gone.
Now, wait, this is documented that they really did this, or...
Well, they're not there.
Was that the talk of the press room that they had removed?
We had some discussion about it. Nothing on the air because we didn't know for sure. But all of the other names...
Would it be possible that Joe Gibbs was removed because he was part of the... ownership team that was working against Schneider?
I don't know. Why would you remove Art Monk's name?
Wow.
It's like,
what has Art Monk done? I mean, other than been one of the greatest Redskins in the history of the franchise.
Are there any, have they changed the name of any of the seating levels? Because there's the Joe Gibbs level.
No, I think that's still the Joe Gibbs level. I think so. But they just took his name off the stadium. That's all we noticed.
Wow. Now, that could have Circle of Fame.
Yes, that could have been something. It could have been for maintenance.
They could be reworking his font.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who knows? We'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that. Is Wendell going to go back? Because the last I heard from Wendell, he said he's never going back to the stadium again.
I'm struggling with that thought, too, but I think he's going to be there.
Okay.
Man, guys, I had no idea. I mean, it was a great win for the home team. And boy, my God.
I would think with what we pay for the broadcast rights that, you know, there would be some negotiating here.
You would think, Buzz.
Yes, you would.
You know what that would require, though, on behalf of someone who works here?
What?
Something called a spine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot.
And that doesn't exist here.
We are spineless here. You know, the Redskins were just crapping on us on Friday night, and everybody was like, well, let me just say, the man in charge was Jim McClure. And his response to everything was, oh, write it down. Tell me everything that's wrong.
I'll get back to you.
And I'll be glad to tell you. Just write everything down for me. Right. So, I was actually glad for a change to be done with the pregame, to get the hell out of
that's
there.
Sad. I've never heard you say that.
Normally,
I've never ever heard you say that. All I hear about you when you go out there is you love the whole deal. The whole, before the game, after the game, during the game, the whole experience is wonderful. I'm sorry that they're doing that.
It was a crappy time. I mean, doing the game itself, doing the pregame itself was still, you know, an S-load of fun. But all of this other crap made it so that it wasn't fun.
And I mean, how bad is it for the engineers, guys that are hauling in equipment, to make them go through hoops like that? Because
dress code.
What the hell is that about?
No shorts. You got to have a shirt with a collar with the Redskins logo on it.
Unbelievable.
So I was pissed, and I walked out. You know, I normally hang around, but like, screw it. I couldn't wait to get out of there and go back to my regular seat, where I found my cunny honey, and I immediately told her all of these, you know, all of these grave injustices that were going on. And
is it a sympathetic ear that you found with that?
You know, Frida. You know, she's a bottom line woman. She said, "Were you still able to do the broadcast?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, what are you bitching about?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm bitching because there's a dress code, and they got the AOL people right next to us."
Do you have to wear Redskins colors?
That's what I was told by somebody. Now, I don't know if that's official or not. Man. You know, I mean, I got plenty of shirts that say WJFK Redskins Radio on them, so that's
right,
not a problem.
Right. How about blazers? I think you guys ought to wear blazers.
I just wish I could, you know, my bitches are the fact that it's a perk being able to go on the field before the game. And, you know, believe it or not, you do occasionally get something, like from talking to the coach, North Turner, that you can use during the broadcast. That's my first bitch. My second bitch is that, you know, they're going to take the fun out of it. I can't bring my kid with me before the game if he can't come down on the field. And certainly if he can't even come up in the broadcast booth to watch me do this. I mean, he loves it. I love it.
Sure.
It's a bitch. I'm not crazy about the dress code. I'm not crazy about not being able to use the bathroom.
Not crazy about the guys, even though they were nice, the guys with the earpieces.
No.
And the black suits.
Not crazy about the...
Remind you of that Disney security a little bit?
Not crazy about, yeah, about the plastic cups.
The Pentagon.
And when I got to the... Oh, when I got to the stadium, everything's different. I got to the stadium, and I walked through the press entrance, and I go to the press elevator, and there's a very nice lady who I've known for the last 5 years, and as I'm getting to the elevator... A man actually reaches out and touches my arm and says, "Where are you going?" I said, "Press elevator." Showed him my pass. Going to the press box. He says, "This elevator is now for suite holders only.
Oh.
The press will take the elevators over there."
The press will climb this rope.
Yeah. So I don't know if everybody else in the press is bitching about this. Probably not, because they just want to kiss Redskins' ass. But
I don't get it. I don't. You know, I know that the people that would own the suites, it would seem to me that mixing with the people that cover the game would be, in many cases, a fun thing. That they would enjoy seeing the people that are broadcasting the game, seeing people in the media. It would seem to me that I don't understand why you guys have a pox on you and they're trying to separate you like you're the great unwashed.
Well, we are only in this area because Sonny asked that we stay in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I think we would have been banished to the... un-air-conditioned press box, the gulag box.
Now, I thought, it seemed to me, when you made the move over from RFK to FedEx Field, that the press facilities were better, but they're not?
They're not.
They're not?
No, they're not.
They're not better than RFK was a gulag.
And listen, you know what really sucks? Thank God we don't do this. Like, the guys first off, I saw Jerry Glanville. Coach Jerry Glanville.
Right.
Who is, you know, how ridiculous is this? What does he have to do with Boston? He's calling the preseason games for the New England Patriots.
Patriots, the color man.
On TV, right. So I saw him before the game, and I said, "Hey, Coach, how you doing?" And he, you know, he's a great guy. He's like, "Hey, how's your son Bart? How's everything going?" I said, "How do you like your accommodations?" He said, "They suck. Our vantage of the field is the 8-yard line."
Oh, my God.
They put visiting TV.
The visiting TV coverage?
On the 8-yard line.
Oh, my God.
When I was touring what's left of the press box area, I saw that the spot where they're going to have national radio. And there's going to be, you know, the Redskins are on Monday Night Football 3 times this year. So at least 3 times, the guys Matt Millen and Boomer Esiason, who will be calling the Monday Night game on radio, the booth that they have is about the size of this console. It's very small. You walk through a door, and there is no glass in front of them. In front of them are 3 rows of reporters. So as these guys are calling the game, they're going to have to deal with, in front of them...
What amounts to a press box.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed
reporters
to have
reporters talking.
You're supposed to have, like, a sound-sensitive broadcast booth.
Schmoozing.
Jesus.
I mean, I don't know, yeah.
What is the deal?
It's messed up. I mean...
So it's an anti-media environment. Would you say that's safe to say?
That's how I would describe it. That's the only way I could describe it.
They got a bone to pick with the media.
And I don't know why, because no team gets their asses kissed
like
the Redskins do in this town.
There's no team in America in any sport that gets their asses kissed like the Washington Redskins do.
I guarantee you that Rennie Knott's not going to go on Channel 7 today and talk about it, but I'll tell you, he was pissed, and he was talking about getting a petition together,
yes,
getting everybody to sign a petition saying, how about letting the working members of the press down on the field?
I think you guys ought to get a lot more than what you're getting.
So anyway, that was the football game.
Wow.
Oh, but a funny thing did happen at halftime. So at halftime, Frieda and I, you know, we're up on the club level.
Right.
That's not suites, and that's not
suites. Right.
That's club level, which is a step above the normal seats. That's the season tickets we pay for. And we were in the humidor at halftime, which is a big open smoking and drinking area. And we were sitting in these big overstuffed chairs, and I was way chilled out by this point. I was not mad anymore about all this stuff happened during
Why
the
would
podcast.
That be?
Oh, I know. Nothing to drink.
Oh, okay. All right.
Nothing to drink.
You were just calm.
Just chilled. Just sitting there with my wife, enjoying all of the things going on around us.
Right.
And some guy came up to me and said, "Hey, pardon me." He had like a New England accent. "Would you have a lighter?" And I said, "Yes, I do. I've got one right here." And I lit his cigar, and he said, "You look like..."
are you, what's your name?
And I said, my name is Buddy. And he said, no, you are, come on, you are, I know you. And you know what? You know me. You know me. Come on, you remember me, right? And I was flabbergasted. No idea what this guy's talking about. I'll make a long story short. A while ago on the show, recently on the show, there was some guy who wanted to play the secret sound game. The guy backed out. We gave out his phone number on the air. It was the guy who said he had been a Marine. Do you remember this?
No, I don't.
No. Okay.
No, see, I would have been worse than you with
this. Well, this guy, apparently what happened is he called in for the secret sound, said he was positive he knew the sound. We said, okay, that's fine. If you don't know it, we're going to give out your phone number. The guy, or he was supposed to come down to get his head shaved or something, whatever. The guy didn't come through.
Yeah.
We ended up having an argument with him on the air. We played his voicemail on the air. We ended up giving out the guy's phone number on the air.
Right.
And he said that he received thousands of telephone calls from people, and as I was getting in my defensive crouch, ready for this guy like to smack me or something, as it turns out, he was a real nice guy.
Okay.
He couldn't have been nicer.
Well, he knew it. I think he knew. You know, everybody, when it gets to that point, they usually know that it's on the line. It's not like you say it without warning. You know, you don't just do that willy-nilly. They normally know that they better put up or shut up.
It's just he lingered a while. I spent maybe 25 minutes with this guy. With this guy telling me every...
Letting him down easy.
With this guy telling me every small nuance of his appearance on the show and how it changed his life and how some other guy called the show and said that it was him, but it wasn't really him, and that he was down at the FBI, and some guys down at the FBI said, hey, I heard you on Don and Mike today. And then, oh, you wouldn't believe the number of calls I got from all over America.
Is he an FBI agent?
I don't know.
Jesus.
I have no idea, but I told him
so many people listen to this show.
I told him I would say hello to him. And then the next gigantic event was getting my wife off to Spain.
Yes.
And
was she in a bag?
Yes, Black Peter took her to Spain.
Oh, my.
She's okay. She should be there now. But let me do a break, and I'll tell you about that, because there's a story with that also.
Well, anytime any air travel is involved, I know it's exciting.
With her and Big Frida, they're both in Spain. Let's clear these lines right now. Be the 100th caller. We'll give you a shot at the money with the secret sound. This is incidentally will be the final secret sound for this go-around.
Oh, wow.
Worth $500. Phone number 877-365-3636. Be call 100 right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I hope I've done justice in presenting what I think is rewarding about emergency medicine. Now, with the time we have left, anybody have any questions?
Do people really come into the ER with foreign objects stuck in their rectums?
I don't think that's the kind of information people are here for.
I wouldn't mind hearing.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes it happens.
What?
What's the weirdest thing you ever took out of somebody's rectum? Bowling trophy.
Oh, really?
It's the lay of the land, my friend. The Don and Mike Show.
Here's why this place is F up. Foobar, F up beyond repair.
Yeah.
Cellophane. I don't know if you noticed or not. During the opening part of the show, you know, I was thinking, boy, people are really riveted to what I'm saying. And nobody's calling. People are hanging on my every goddamn word.
Every syllable.
But I know that even when we talk, when we're saying something that might or might not be riveting, people are always calling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, the phones are always throbbing on this show. It's one of the sweet parts of doing this job.
But I didn't pay much attention because I was into telling you about, you know, the Redskins and everything and the stadium. And then during the break, Charlie Broyho came in and said, did you guys notice the phones aren't ringing?
Oh.
I said, yeah. He said, the lines were never switched back from when we were in New York last Thursday.
There you go.
So everybody that's calling right now
is being routed through the Big Apple.
And those calls are ringing in our studio at WNEW where nobody is.
Wonderful. We're not there.
So
the only calls that we're seeing are the ones that are coming through the main number? The local number?
Through the local number, right.
People that actually have the presence of mind to dial the local number when the number you gave out at the beginning of the show won't work for them.
Right.
Hey, I love this business. I do indeed.
So I don't know. I don't know if we can take any phone calls. I mean, we can take phone calls, again, with two lines ready to serve you.
Fantastic.
Well, now all the lines have lit up. So have they solved the problem?
There's only one way to find that answer out, and that's to consult with Mr. Charles Broyhill.
And where is the great communicator?
Charles Loring Broyhill.
Where is he, Chuck?
Let's see what he's up to. What's he doing? Maybe he's conferring with the man with the iron fist, Mr. Jim McClure.
I said to him, what about Dan Ryson, our chief engineer? Mm-hmm. Said, Dan's not here. I said, what about Wendell Hall, the angry engineer?
Right.
Wendell's not here.
Right.
They're paging him. Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome Charles Loring Broyhill.
Are the phones working now?
They are working to the extent that the old number, which they never really did anything with, does ring through here.
So, you mean, these are people who are bright enough to know not to call 877-365-3636. They're calling 1-800-636-1067.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
But
well, then, for the purposes of today's show, is that the number we should give out?
Nay, because Jimmy is currently invoking Route 2, which means our calls will be unforwarded. You know, can't just dial star 73. You have to.
We make people jump through so many hoops on this show.
Sure.
Again, we appreciate the fact that you listen to this show.
And I think we're going to need to knock out the window and have the equipment brought in through the window. For those
feet
phones.
Off the counter.
Get my feet off the counter.
And I think
and
we
no
need
plastic
a cups. Right. Okay, so the problem should be fixed momentarily.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks for your support.
Thanks, Mr. Snyder.
Thank you.
Hello.
Charlie Snyder. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, what part of the world are you calling? What number are you calling on?
Hello, Don. Oh,
hey, there it is. It's working great.
Oh, my. Jesus Christ.
I know. It makes it an adventure, doesn't it?
Christ our Savior. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I'm calling 100.
Yes, what number are you calling us on?
I'm calling you on the local number, the 202-432 number.
Did you ever realize how effed we'd be if we didn't talk about the problems?
Yeah.
You know, where we'd have to be padding and covering. It's a good day. Having a little technical difficulty here.
Oh,
what the hell would we do if we couldn't talk about everything that was really happening?
We couldn't do a show.
Right.
It's norm, right?
People have to know this is one effed up radio station.
It is indeed.
Nothing goes right here.
Although, well, I'll get back to you, Mumbly.
Well, thank you for calling on one of the 3 to 5 different phone numbers. Oh, yes, Charles?
They are fixed.
Yay!
Yes.
Now they're fixed.
It's a good day.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles Snyder. Listen, no matter what, you got through on a local line. What is your name?
My name is Chris.
Chris, where are you from?
I'm in Alexandria right now.
All right, Chris, you have won the Power Hour card from Dave and Buster's.
He could move any minute.
Dave and Buster's, the premier place in America for adults to have fun. Are you ready to go for the big bucks?
Oh, I'm ready, though I probably don't have a clue on it.
All right, $500 online. That's the spirit.
Nice.
We'll play you the sound now, a common everyday sound. Identify it and win $5. Are you ready?
Oh, anytime.
Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
James McClure. Esquire.
And we wish you
Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. A common everyday sound. But as you heard, this guy really not much of a chance.
I got a good job now. Marry me. Be my wife.
I'm the program director.
Be mine.
Will you marry me?
I'll get back to you. Write it down.
For $500. Are you there?
Jimmy just walked by the window and flipped us off. Thanks, James. That was wonderful.
Allison, I'm a program director.
Come here, Jimmy.
I'm a program director now. Marry me.
Hey, what's the sound?
Hello?
Sir?
Sir?
Contestant?
Oh, dear.
Player?
Was he blown away by our incredible Jim McClure impressions?
I thought I heard a click. Maybe he hung up.
Or maybe,
hello? He hung up.
If you'd like to make a call.
Hold on, dude. Don't go in.
Jimmy just dying to, like, leave. He does not want to be in here.
If you'd like to make a call, okay, please hang up and try again.
Okay, so walk me through it. I'll be your girlfriend, Allison, and you be you. Or maybe we should do it the other way around. Maybe you be Allison and I'll be you.
That would be better.
Okay, you be Allison.
Oh, hi, Holly.
Come on, be Allison.
What do you want?
Now that I'm a program director,
could you find it in your heart to be my bride?
Could you marry me? Please. Just write it down.
I'll let you go out with anybody else you want.
Even girls. Any girl. Even girls at the Super Bowl. Okay, how are those Redskins problems coming?
They're coming along very well. Wendell's already bought a tuxedo for next weekend.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jimmy. I guess we should take another caller for the contest.
Absolutely.
Hey, nice having you in here, James.
Thank you.
James, take care.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Am I caller 100?
Yeah, in a roundabout way you are.
Good.
May I be so bold as to ask what phone number you called?
I called the regular line, not the local number. I'm calling from California.
The regular line?
Okay, but what were the numbers? Do you remember?
1-877-365-3636.
That's good.
3636.
It's working.
So the phones are working.
Thank you, Jim McClure. Oh, the elephant. Will you marry me?
Imagine if she talked like him, too.
Oh,
so,
man.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Jeb. I love you, Jeb.
I will. I do.
Write it down.
Get back to you Monday.
You have won 25 Durex condoms. What's your name?
Leah.
We didn't even ask. And were you calling from California?
Yes.
25 Durex condoms. Feel love the way it's supposed to feel. Set yourself free with the most exciting condoms ever made. Durex condoms. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
All right, no build-up since you're the second person. Here's the sound. What is that?
Is that a locker opening or closing?
No. That was a decent guess.
It was a wonderful guess.
And thank you. Please don't forget that every guess
is a clue for you.
A clue for you. Are you like me just looking at the parade of brain power that keeps walking past our window?
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder what they're talking about.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Their favorite colors.
Yeah, really.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. The nuances of nose picking. Picking and eating.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, there you go. The phones are back. That's a powerful sampler. Okay. All right.
Decent rhythm.
Gotcha.
That was marvelous.
At least we know the phones are working.
Yeah, absolutely.
So listen, here's the deal with we got home from the game Friday night, and Frida already started to get uptight about her trip to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
That she and my mother-in-law, both of the Fridas, are going to Spain. They're going to spend a couple of days touring, spending my money, and then they're going to pick up Marty, mm-hmm. and they're all coming back home, end of the week.
Uh-huh.
As you know, Frida is a bit of a phobic flyer.
Yeah, God love her.
Frida's mom is just nuts. She's not only phobic about flying, she's phobic about the weather. She's phobic about driving to the airport.
Oh, really? So she just doesn't like anything.
She's phobic about having her bag be too big to get into the spot under the seat. She's phobic about where she should put her passport. She's phobic about if she can bring aspirin into this country. She's phobic about how she will call. She's phobic about if...
Excuse me, miss. We're going to throw you to the floor. You have aspirin on you.
You know, I had a half-hour discussion with her on Saturday about if her phone card would work or not. This is kind of crap that I was going through. So I've got these two nut jobs, finally get them packed and get them to the airport. Now, they have to be at the airport because it's an international flight 2 hours early.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to the airport. I get them out of the car. I get the bags. I get the SkyCab going. Take them in. Get them to the gate, to the part where they've got to go through, fill out their customs forms, all this other crap. Give them both a hug and a kiss. Say, I love you. See you in, you know, five. Love you. Don't worry about me. Bye. Get in the car. Go home. Brief moment where I'm bummed out because I realize, you know, that now it's just me.
All alone.
I've missed Bart for the last month, but now Frida's gone, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, for a short period of time, it becomes enjoyable.
Well, you're all alone, but, you can do whatever you want.
Right, I'm the king of my castle.
Get into that underwear.
Well, I was chilling out, and phone rings. Hello? I go, well, it can't be her. She wouldn't call me from an airplane. She's too cheap. it was her. She says, hi. The incoming flight from Madrid is 6 hours late.
Ooh. Welcome to the world of air travel.
I said, okay. She says, well, you better come get us.
Oh. So they canceled the flight out?
Yeah,
they
canceled the flight out. So, you know, all it ended up being was just another day of all of the same. Just another day of the waiting and the worrying and the packing and the unpacking and the repacking. And does this bag go with this bag? And finally, I got him on the plane. And on the way to the airport, Frida said, now, she's so worried about me this week. She got all the food items. She made all this shake and bake for me and froze it and put it in the freezer with all these little tags. And got.
That's really nice that she did that for you.
Wonderful. Yeah. Got the fish that I like. Got it. Went to the store. Got everything I like. Pretty much outlined all of my meal plans. And then she said, and there's one last thing that I'm going to do for you this week. And I said, oh, but I'm thinking it's the worst. I'm like, what? Please don't have the neighbors bring down food or check on me. I'm fine. She said, no. Every day, one of the neighbors is going to put a little something in the mailbox for you. And that's going to be a clue about somewhere in the house that I've hidden a little present for you. And I said, okay. So I take them to the airport. I get them on the plane. They're on the way to Spain. I come back home, go in the mailbox. And this is what I see. He says, that's very, you know, my wonderful wife, God damn, I love her more than anything.
Of course.
She writes, I love you so much, on the top.
Right.
And then she writes, hint, if you have a cigar-smoking buddy over, he'd put his butt right over your first present. So I'm staring at this and going, if I had one of my friends who smokes cigars come over,
it's in the toilet.
He'd put his butt over your first present. That's where I went. Went to the toilet in the kitchen.
Well, I was joking when I said that. I would think it would be on whatever cushion underneath, whatever cushion you...
That's why I am not as smart as you.
Okay. I mean, you would be sitting where you were... Yeah, your regular place.
I went to the toilet in the kitchen. I mean, the one that's off the bathroom.
Because your cigar-smoking buddies wouldn't come over and immediately take a dump in your bathroom.
They have.
They have.
Of course. So I'm looking around the toilet. I actually lifted up the top of the toilet, like where that plunger thing is.
Where you leave the upper decker.
Right. Well, nothing there. Went upstairs, got a few bathrooms upstairs, looked in those bathrooms, went to the bathroom downstairs, nothing there. Then I had, Rob, I know you just wrote this down, I had the same thought. Ah, he'd put his butt right over your first present. I thought, oh, it's by an ashtray.
Mm-hmm.
His cigar butt, he'd put it by my first present.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at all the ashtrays in the house. And you know, like down in the basement when all the guys come over to play poker?
Yeah, right.
I got about 100 ashtrays all over the house. And I spent roughly 40 minutes like an idiot looking by every single ashtray in the house.
How soon did it take before you finally lifted up the cushion on the sofa?
She arrived in Spain and called me to say that she was there.
Right.
Said, hi, sweetie, I made it.
You hadn't found
it. I said, great. Listen, I'm glad I got a really important question. Where's the present? And she said, well, couldn't you follow the hint? I said, I looked in all the toilets.
The toilets. She must have laughed when you said that. I looked in all the toilets.
I looked under every ashtray of the house. I said, do you realize downstairs where I play poker with the guys, We've got, I'm not kidding, 18 ashtrays down there. We've got, she went to a yard sale and bought like a big stack of them. The restaurant quality ashtrays. And then at that point she said, oh, you're so lost without me. She said, go get the piece of paper. She called me from Spain. I'm like, all right, I get it. And if you have a cigar-smoking buddy, he put his butt over your first present. I said, right, I don't get it. She said, we have a friend come over, and you smoke cigars, and you watch a game. Where do you watch the game? I said, in my cave. She said, where does your friend sit? I said, in one of the chairs. She said, put me on hold and go in there. We go in the cave. I take out the phone. I go, hello. And there are three chairs in there. There's the chair I sit in and the two other chairs. Because I'm an idiot, I looked under the wrong chair to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the chair to my left and I said, ah, nothing there. She says, which chair did you look at? I said, the one right next to me. She said, look under the cushion of the chair where your friends sit.
Don!
Yeah, right.
Come on, Don!
Where your friends sit.
And I look under the cushion of the chair.
At that point, I looked under the cushion of the chair, and there she had hidden a copy of Dennis Miller's new book.
Ah, very good.
Oh, that's nice.
So that was very sweet of
her. Well, that's pretty cool that she's doing that. So you're going to get a present every day?
Yeah, I guess something like that every
day.
That's
nice.
She's very nice.
It's very good.
Very nice. And
makes you feel less lonely.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
It actually does. And it gives me a little bit of a contest every day.
That's terrific.
To run around the house. So anyway, she's there. She's there.
Are you going to go to a bullfight?
I don't know. I have no idea what she and her mother are going to do. I have absolutely no idea.
But they're there. They're probably relaxed and everything's fine.
Yeah, sure.
Well, then fine.
Just finding lots of ways to spend my money. they're going to pick up Bart and everybody will be back by the weekend.
That's cool. That's
so I'm looking forward to that. Also, I was going to tell you this weekend. I saw your man, Lieberman, give a speech on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I saw your man.
Oh, listen to you. Are you prepared to come out and make? I don't want you to fence it. I'm not going to allow you to fence it anymore. I want
to
know my.
You don't get to make that call.
Oh boy, you're being a tough guy now.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Have you made a decision, Buzz, Mr. Tough Guy?
I'm leaning toward this.
There you go.
But I've not made
Buzz.
A decision.
Absolutely, make a fist. All right. So what were you saying?
Elections in November.
I saw your guy
right
on TV live speech. And this is what he said. This is what worries me about him. And this is a quote.
Right.
He said, I am worried about the children of America.
Mm-hmm.
We have G-rated children who are being brought up in an X-rated society.
Right.
He said, the problems are Hollywood, movies, television, video games, radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said he said that before too.
Well,
he has said that. He had said that specifically.
Just want to tell you that's your guy, and that's my issue with him.
I know it is
right there,
and
that's my issue with him.
And I'm actually I'm troubled by that as well. But there's so many other things that I believe in the ticket about that I actually have to put that in the back pocket and believe what he says when he says he is not for laws that would censor.
Well,
that he is.
I don't like any guy saying we live in an X-rated world. And we got to make it G-rated for our kids.
He did warn that Washington could impose legal restrictions on the entertainment industry if its leaders refuse to draw some lines themselves. That's from his speech.
Well, from the front page of the Washington Post today, what he said was that he would prefer...
That's a reputable paper.
He would prefer that the... they were quoting what he said, and he would prefer...
But you'll admit that's a reputable paper.
Yes, I will admit that's a very reputable paper. He would actually prefer that the industry would do the things themselves. He does not... come out and advocate censorship.
What he said is,
hey, the Republicans, boys, I got news for you. The Republicans have led the charge on this issue more than anybody else. And if you're going to single out one guy, I'll tell you right now.
I am. That's why I switched.
The thing is, there's so many more people on the other side. That's really, and I believe that. We got calls on it last week. I believe there are a lot more people that are on that side of the aisle that would make it difficult on our industry than,
all I want to know, I'll switch back.
And you know what he said also?
You find me one guy from the Republican ticket who says specifically radio show.
One guy, you mean from the two at the head of the Republican ticket?
What? I'm talking about this guy is going to be, if it goes your way, the vice president.
Well, I hope it goes my way, because I'll tell you right now, one of the things he also said was, whatever the party policies are, they are the policies of the president of the United States. And when it comes to an issue like school vouchers, he defers to the president of the United States. And that's the way it works. And I do believe that's the way it works in this country.
Did you know that Tipper sniffed my anal vapors, Gore? You know, she wanted to put those stamps on the records. And
I understand that. And am I happy about that? No, but do I think that ticket is better for the country? Yes, I do. I do because of a lot of other things, as well as I don't agree, just like you guys, I don't agree with what he says about censorship. It worries me. It concerns me. But do I think that there is a much bigger piece of the pie? Much bigger. And I believe you have to take it all into consideration.
Okay, listen.
And that's the way I feel about it. I really do.
Okay, we're bordering now. We got to back this.
We're bordering on a political show, but I'm defending myself here.
I know you are.
I know.
I just want to say the guy is a effing dick. That's all I want to say. I heard him say bad stuff about radio in particular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all. My opinion, that's it.
Well, you gave
your side. You give your side more eloquently than I do.
I don't think he's an effing dick.
I do.
I disagree. We'll have to agree to disagree that he is
a big rubber. We saw this ad in this magazine.
The little one that you taped up. That was it. Rob that taped it up on the
on the
console.
I did on the console at NEW.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We saw this ad in the back of the porno magazines that Mike bought last week. Remember, we got the great phone number to call the new dirty phone.
Absolutely.
Back in the classifieds, they had an ad that said, I bet they'll cut me off if I say it. FRD, free rubber.
Right.
You know, Richard.
That's what the ad said.
The ad said, free rubber Richard, and they had a picture of it. And it said, impress your friends, amaze girls with your free rubber Richard. Only $2.
Yeah. All you have to do is pay for the shipping, the postage and handling, and you're all set.
Oh, crack my ass up.
It was funny.
So anyway, listen, enough about Lieberman. I got something else. This is something my wife mentioned to us when we were in New York, when we were having dinner the other night, and I totally forgot about it. I zoned on it until I was talking with one of my neighbors on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got this British family who lives up the street from us. Mm-hmm. Very nice people. And as Frida and her mom were going through all of this crap about getting packed up and getting ready for the trip, Frida's mom was hyperventilating, getting worked up about where she should keep her passport. And Frida said to her, just put it in your fanny pack and don't give it another thought. And then this British lady, our neighbor, she laughed. You know, she went, oh, fanny pack. Oh, that's a good one. That's a bloody good one. And then I was reminded what Frida told us when we were at the dinner in New York last week.
Right.
That according to this neighbor of mine, Sarah, in Britain, when you say the word fanny, you might as well be saying, see you in Toledo.
Yeah, I had a cousin that was over there and was on an archaeological expedition and in the north of England, and she said, my fanny is so cold and wet. And they, like, eight people, like, dropped their tools that they were digging with because she was talking about her place.
I know that, you know, they think the word fag means cigarette,
right?
But fanny, it's like using the C word.
And we think it's just, hey, we have fanny flag in this country, you know?
Right.
C word flag.
Right. The Bee Gees had a song called Fanny Be Tender With My Love.
They're probably, and they were, you know, they're British guys. They're probably laughing their asses off all over the place.
Little Annie Fanny. But this is something that I think is just a recent phenomenon in which the word fanny means C word.
Uh-huh.
So we are going to now call England, and we're going to try to use the word in conversation.
Absolutely.
And see if we get any response.
Very good.
Okay? We're going to try I don't want to try Buckingham Palace. How about a hotel?
Very good. A nice London hotel.
Usually works.
713.
Gotcha. Call the Hyde Park Hotel.
Very good.
And we'll just work. We'll work fanny in.
Ah, brother.
Hold on. 7-1. It's a mess making these phone calls.
Hello. How is your fanny?
Fanny Flagg.
Have you read the latest book, Fried Green Tomatoes by Fanny Flagg?
And Fanny Pack. Keep that in your fanny pack.
Therefore,
that's what you could ask.
Cannot be completed as dialed.
Does your gift shop sell fanny packs? See how they respond to that.
All right, let me see.
Do you have a gift shop? Do you have aspirins? And do you sell fanny packs? Planning on doing some sightseeing.
I think we're calling some guy named P. McCartney. For whatever reason, we have...
Hello, it's Paul.
We have like 100 guys. And I don't know for sure if they're guys. They're just people right. In the phone book who are listed. P. McCartney. Anytime we get into a Beatles discussion...
Hello!
Hello! Hello, this is the Don and Mike show. We're on the air right now. Do you mind going on the air with us? We're calling you from America.
Hang on, I've had one of these hoax things before.
You've had one of these what?
I think this is a hoax.
No, you're really on an American radio show. I guarantee you that.
This is not a hoax. I know your name is McCartney, first initial P, but that's not why we're calling you.
Now, what you want?
Okay, here's the question. Do you have a wife or a girlfriend? Well, I could ask it about you.
He didn't care for that question. He didn't like that line of questioning.
Hmm.
You just should have asked him right off the shoot if he owned a fanny pack.
All right.
Very defensive. So when you travel and you keep your personal belongings, do you carry them in a fanny pack?
Yeah. I guess there's no need to ask, do you have a wife or a girlfriend?
Yeah, he gets suspicious immediately,
right.
You know. He was going to. He probably knew you were going to ask about her fanny.
All right, we're going to try another one of the McCartneys. He actually sounded like a young Paul.
If you have a hairy fanny.
A clean-shaven fanny.
You shave your fanny.
Hello?
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 Hi.
I'm sorry I can't take your call at the moment. But if you would like to leave a message, please do so after the long tone.
Hi. Hi.
Please wait.
What was that little thing?
I don't know.
Hello?
Do you shave your fanny?
Is your fanny clean shaven?
Fanny, I miss you.
Hold on, let me try another one.
And I'm doing well.
Hello, Fanny.
Fanny.
Hello.
Fanny. That's so funny because our version is so much dirtier.
I was in London once and I slipped and fell right on my fanny. Rob, you were in New York once and fell right on your fanny.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Hello? There seems to be total silence.
Well, you know, I don't know what it is. Hello?
So I reached into my fanny pack.
All right, let's try.
I pulled out a razor.
Oh!
A straight razor, mind you.
You keep that in your fanny?
Oh, yes, I do. I keep all my personal shaving items there. Cream. Fanny cream.
All right, I'm going to move on to the Lennons now.
Fanny Farmer candies.
Yeah, that's another good one, right? Fanny.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No! Hello? Hello? Would you like a fanny candy?
Mmm.
Fanny candy. Tastes good. Fanny candy tastes good. Bacon tastes good.
There's a hair in my fanny candy.
Candy, not canny. Canny sounds like cunny.
Which is what fanny is. Fanny equals cunny.
Over there. Oh, no!
Your call cannot be completed.
Oh, brother.
How come we weren't able to get through at the hotel, the Fanny Hotel? Hello, you've reached the Fanny Hotel.
2-2.
You know, a friend of mine was riding on his motorcycle and he fell off. And he scraped his fanny. He had a bloody fanny. I think that's like the worst thing you can say over there.
You bloody fanny.
Perfectly acceptable in this country, but over there it'd be horrible.
Well, listen, there's never anything right about a bleeding ass.
Shag the bloody fanny. That might be the worst thing you can say over there, but I'm not quite sure. Not being from there and all. But over here, no problem. Shag the bloody fanny.
Well, if you don't want her to get pregnant... Shag the bloody fanny. It's a form of birth control.
We're sorry. Due to heavy calling, we cannot complete your call at this time.
Everyone's calling to say fanny.
Right, let me try one more. I'll try a pub. Try
try Porcupine's Pub.
In this case, you might want to call it a pube.
Pube and pube.
Do you sell fanny packs in your pube?
Lovely pube.
What's going on with the UK? Do those Verizon people, do they work over there too?
You know, the phones are all effed up right now.
Oh, my God.
Come back to this. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, my name's Heather. I'm from England. How are you?
Well, Heather, you don't talk like it.
Oh, I've been here 12 years.
Oh, you've got a wonderful accent.
Well, thank you. Actually, I'm calling because I heard you talking about the word fanny.
Yeah?
And you had said it was a recent phenomenon. I'm calling to let you know that's actually incorrect. It's been like that. The word fanny has meant that ever since I can remember, since I was a little girl.
Well, then how could...
Yeah, my cousin was over there like 20 years ago.
Then how could the Bee Gees have had a hit record out...
That I don't know. That actually was before.
Maybe that they, you know, maybe they designed it for release over here, you know?
I don't know, but it's always been there. Every time I heard it since I was...
Rob, I know I've got a BG sampler upstairs.
I'll go check.
Would you go up and get it? Because I know it's Fanny Be Tender with my love.
The BG song was out after she had this experience over there. So, I mean, because this was
really?
A long... I remember her telling this story, like, you know, way back, way... I mean, even longer than 20 years
all right,
ago.
So,
oh, wow.
If she was... Because she's in her 50s, and she was over there when she was a college student.
Okay, so if that's the case, how did they play the song Fanny Be Tender with My Love?
I don't know.
Because we couldn't play a song called Seaward Be Tender with My Love.
No. Like over the Spy Who Shagged Me has a different name over there, right? They can't say that over there, can they?
I don't think that movie has a different name over there.
I thought I heard that because doesn't it have a different name over there?
I know Shag means F.
Right, I think they did change the name for British release.
Because it would have been like on our Spy Who F'd Me. Hello, here is Charles Snyder.
Hello.
Hi.
Get your feet off of there. I was just going to say, I believe the Bee Gees were from Australia, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that their record wouldn't have been played in Britain, though. I mean, I think it was a worldwide hit.
Well, it's like Fanny Flagg. You know, she wrote those books. I'm sure that they were published over and distributed over in England. Do you think they have Fanny Farmer candies over in England?
Parks?
Playboy?
Right, would have Little Annie Fanny, the British version. They might take it out of there.
Fanny Hunt?
What?
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
I think Charles Broyle was back at the kiosk in New York City where we bought those magazines.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Pretty sure.
Well, I'm not able to get through to anybody in Britain right now.
That's crazy.
It sucks on ice. Except the first guy named P. McCartney.
He didn't want to talk.
Who didn't want to talk.
Let me ask you about your girlfriend and your wife, Click.
All right, let's try Buckingham Palace.
Of course. They're always open. And we can ask them if they sell fanny packs. I mean, what tour? That would be the type of thing you'd see at, like, a gift shop in a tour. We could ask for the gift shop.
Right? We would be saying, like, the worst things in the world if we said, hey, want to shag your fanny.
That would be... Probably, yeah, that would be a...
Want to F your C.
Yeah, it'd be something you'd hear, like, on a phone sex line over there.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Yeah, there seems to be a... what do you do is... There seems to be a total meltdown on the phone system, so you're going to have to table the idea of getting your answer on the word fanny. Okay. Hello. I'd like to get me a multicolored fanny pack to tour the pier, the palace, the Tower of London... All the other great things.
Fanny. I want to shag your fanny. I want to shag your fanny rotten.
It's a gentle... It seems to me to be a gentler way of saying it, yes. Oh, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, love. You're the prettiest little thing I've ever seen. I'd sure like to shag your fanny.
I would indeed.
Is there a chance that before the night's over, I could shag that fanny?
Could I finger that fanny? Cut 10? I knew I had it. God damn, I've got every bad record that was ever made.
I didn't know the Bee Gees were Australian.
Yeah, okay, here's Fanny, right? It's a real, real fag record.
Good afternoon, everybody. WFAG. My name is Leo Tarr. Here's one for all the C's out there.
Painful to listen to.
I know.
Let
me get to where they're singing Fanny. Here we go. What do they sing Fanny? but it sounds like it's only in John Hinckley's mind.
Yes.
Be tender with my love.
They'd always come in and try to sing like men.
Yeah, I hate the Bee Gees.
Honey, be tender. I'll take that out and throw it in the trash bag. That's disgusting. Next thing they're gonna. What's the next song gonna be? Shag?
God, I wish our phones worked. So we'll call anybody in London.
Hello, London. We've got a giant fanny pack.
I don't know what the problem is.
There seems to be some international problem.
A heavy flow of calls, they say.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a number you can call. I'd rather not give it out over the air.
Well, we appreciate that, but we can make no calls to the UK.
Not at all?
No. There seems to be a little log jam with calls going overseas.
Yeah, my brother lives over there. I pretty much grew up over there.
Is he an American?
Yes. Good. He's married to a British girl.
How's her gunny? I mean, how's her fanny?
I wouldn't know that. You'd have to ask him.
Well, all right.
Has he ever mentioned her fanny to you?
No.
You don't talk fanny?
No, not at all.
What brothers do, I guess, you know, talk about their, you know, the fanny. They probably talk about the other side, you know, before the fanny. You know, I mean, seriously, if you're really having a discussion about it and you got two brothers going, hey, she's got, you know, but it probably would not be.
Right, you'd say she has a great ass before.
You
very rarely hear
fanny.
Hey, she's got a great,
right,
a great cunt.
Yeah, well, especially with us being Americans, we don't say that much very often.
Right.
Sure, right, because Americans don't talk about sex.
Thank you.
Right, Jesus.
It just wouldn't be, you know, I'm trying to think if you'd have a, I've never had a brother. I wouldn't know. But, you know, sitting there going, boy, let me tell you something.
You might say she was, I've heard guys say, sloppy. Boy, what a sloppy fanny she had. Or, what a tight fanny she had.
Yeah. That's
oh, her fanny was so tight.
Right. Pass the potatoes.
Yeah, no, not over Thanksgiving dinner. But
this is, you know, maybe not. That's more like buddies. Let's say that,
right?
Yeah, maybe not brothers.
You know, but you know, it depends on how close the family is.
Well, you're talking about my brother,
right? Have you ever had that? Like when you'd be talking about your wife or your brother's talking about his many girls.
No, he has mentioned. Sure. I'm positive he has at some point.
He said that he's made reference to the fanny.
Yeah.
This is so funny. Hey, dude. That date I had last night.
Damn.
What a great fanny.
Her fanny was fantastic.
Now it sounds like we're getting a British ring here.
Yep. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Oh, that same guy?
I'm sorry you called at the moment.
Now, how come we can get through to these guys?
Well, that's encouraging. I'll tell you right now, though, if this had happened in WW2, we would have been screwed. Wouldn't have been able to get all our allied fighters over there.
Screw right in the fanny. That's where I like to screw, in the fanny. For any of you wondering where I like it.
You like it in the fanny.
I love it. I love to give it to my wife right in her fanny. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, suggestion. Call British Airways and ask them if it's okay to bring a fanny pack on the plane.
Right, suggestion.
Oh, yeah, the other one.
Hold on. Suggestion.
Yeah.
Come down here and fix the telephone so we can call the UK.
No, call British Airways USA because they staff them with a bunch of silly British folks, even here in the States.
Yeah, we can probably call the local number and get rid of it and just go, excuse me, am I allowed to bring fanny pack? And you can call Virgin Atlantic, too.
Do you see how big a fanny pack you can take on a plane?
How big a fanny pack?
And then, if that doesn't work.
All right, come on, that's enough ideas. We got you,
British Embassy.
Suggestion. Maybe you were correct, but you'll never hear me say it. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, I'm planning a trip, and I was wondering, what's the largest fanny pack I can carry on your 747?
Are you getting that for me, Head?
Yes, I am.
We'll take good care of you. That's like the 12-year-old there, you know, slogan.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, call Hotel Senator in London.
Honey, we can't get through to anybody in London.
Well, I was just there last year in November, and I happened to go to Saturday Night Fever musical they had there, and that's all Bee Gees music, and they played all of those songs and didn't seem to bother anybody there.
I don't think Fanny Be Tender With My Love was in Saturday Night Fever.
Yes, it was.
I hate to date myself as a Bee Gees fag, but it was not in Saturday Night Fever.
Well, they used all of the music from it while they were warming up for the people to get there, you know. They were playing all the background music along there.
So you heard Fanny Be Tender and they didn't storm out of the theater?
Sure, yeah. Hmm. We were there at a theater. We went to see it at a play.
Technically it wasn't on the soundtrack of Saturday Night Fever. But I understand what you're saying, that they certainly could have piped in Bee Gees music.
They did that,
before the show.
Right.
I wonder if they showed Funny Girl. Years and years ago. The story of Fanny Bryce.
I don't know, but you know, I sat next to people that were from Scotland and Ireland, and it didn't seem to...
Because really, that movie, Fanny is all of Fanny. Good to see you again, Fanny, when Omar Sharif is going, Fanny, I love you, Fanny.
Thank you, honey. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's time. Please place your call later. We apologize for any inconvenience.
Wow, this is a...
I can't get through to any information services, 800 or local. I've got to work
strike.
Stop it.
Oh, Rob, is this the Verizon thing that's causing all this?
Phone book. I'll do it the old-fashioned way. Jesus Christ.
Like a history lesson.
Just give me a phone book.
Fanny.
That's how Fred Flintstone had to do it.
Right. Fanny, I love you. I love you, Fanny. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember they ran that all day? You know, back when you didn't get a lot of movies on cable and you'd see that one, and it's like, you know, Fanny.
Funny girl. Fanny girl.
Funny girl and funny lady.
And a lot of people think that Barbra Streisand is a fanny.
Oh, absolutely.
A gigantic fanny.
Super fanny.
Right.
Queen of the fanny.
A lot of people that have worked with her and met her.
Right.
Fanny. I love you, Fanny.
James Brolin. I wonder what he thinks of her fanny.
I'm sure. He seems to so far like that fanny.
But that's a smelly fanny.
Do you think he's forcing himself to like that fanny?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Please. He probably sits around with his friends and goes, oh, you will not believe her fanny.
You know, he probably sits around with his brother and says that. Let me tell you, I could tell you stories about her fanny.
His son. His son who's like a B-grade actor who I saw.
Josh.
Driving in one of those Formula Grand Prix races where they let celebrities drive.
Is that his name, Josh?
Yeah.
Josh Brolin.
Son of James Brolin.
Hey, Dad, how's your new wife's fanny?
Son, I want to tell you something. It's a mess. Double A, beep, beep, MCO.
Beep, beep. Okay. Fanny.
Hold on, they're having trouble locating a telephone book.
Oh,
got the number. Well, we got to do a break. We'll come back. We'll take that guy's suggestion, try to call British Airways right after them.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
I want everybody together to go ahead and say, vagina, vagina, vagina.
Offering the audio equivalent of manual release. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, now listen, it's the type of week on the show that Joseph Lieberman's going to hate the show this week. We have strip trivia. This week on the show, we will start the trolling tomorrow.
All right.
Okay. Playing that on Friday. Got a great grand prize. Trip for two to a ranch in Tucson, Arizona.
That is a good prize for strip trivia.
And it's courtesy of TBS. Also this week, we're giving away a trip, a WWF trip to Raleigh, North Carolina. Wednesday, when we do our Survivor stuff, this week we're going to be talking to good old Jervis.
Ah, wonderful. Yeah.
So we'll see what's up with Jervis. We're generally in a pattern of getting them the week after they've been off the island.
That's very cool. I'll be interested. You know, Jervis was my pick to be lasting, and you know, I think I saw a promo with Letterman when he was just saying, why the hell is Richard still there? And I think a lot of people are wondering why that is. We can ask Jervis about that.
And we just announced today the next Vegas Dial show is next Wednesday, August 23rd, we're going back to the club we love in D.C., Club Nation.
Right.
We'll be there next Wednesday night with a free Las Vegas-style show. See you there. Now, we're going to get back to this thing with Wendell Hall and the Redskins. Good. What I was talking about in the beginning of the show, because Mike has done some research, and I understand that Wendell has a demand of Redskins management, most specifically the owner of the Washington Redskins, Daniel Snyder.
He's very realistic about it. He doesn't expect to receive it, but he is still what would appear to be white hot about the treatment at the stadium over the weekend.
And Mike found out some stuff that even I didn't know. Like that there's a lock on the door.
That's the only thing I found out, the new thing, and I thought that was the funniest thing. Wendell indicated to me that the door, when you're in your broadcast booth, the door locks from the outside so that you can be prevented to get... You can be prevented from going outside of the booth. You would think normally where there's a broadcast going in, the door would lock and you would be forced to, from getting from the outside in. So that's what Wendell told me.
They couldn't believe it.
The door locks from the outside.
All right, listen, we're going to get back to the fanny discussion in just a second. Stay with us.
Hey, Wendell, you're still hot.
I want to get Wendell while he's white hot because he is still mad. Now, what is the demand that you have made upon Redskins owner Daniel Snyder?
It's not a demand. I don't expect that I'll receive it. But I said when I was out there and when I was at my angriest, I'm never setting foot in this joint again.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Wow.
Over the weekend, you know, I thought about it, and time passes, wounds heal. But I'll go back to the stadium. I'll go back to the stadium once I get a letter of apology
from Daniel Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way you were treated, right?
The sound you will hear will be hell freezing over.
Mm-hmm. What exactly do you want the owner of the Redskins, the young boy owner of the Redskins, to apologize to you for?
Well, basically for treating me like a servant. I mean, not himself, but his underling, this guy that I was dealing with, is telling me you can't... we didn't actually have to take the cases in through the window this week.
Right.
I managed to get two of the three sets of things rolled in before this guy finds me. Little did I know. And he spies me out on the catwalk and says, "You're not rolling that through the bar." Okay.
Is that how he approached you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello. I'm Guy Smiley. No. you're not rolling that through the bar.
That's how he said it to you.
Okay. Well, I need to get it from here to there, so,
And you're talking about you were an area of, maybe 30 feet away from where
I'm
you
did. I'm on the catwalk outside right. the glass doors. Where Mr. Clean was with the earpiece.
And you're rolling in equipment that is necessary to broadcast the game.
800 pounds worth of it.
Mm-hmm. That has to go into that booth so that the game will be heard on the radio, so that they will be able to share the magic of Redskins football to the world.
Well, right. If you weren't, without this, we got a Mr. Microphone or a couple of tin cans and some string.
Mm-hmm. Well, then how did you guys get it? If you didn't use the cherry picker like the TV people did, how did you get the equipment in there?
We carried it.
You lifted 800 pounds worth of stuff?
No, this dude and I, we separated the boxes. He went off to find an underling because he was, the first time that I saw him, I knew he was some big deal because he was carrying a jug of water and a humidor.
Ah.
So this guy is literally Snyder's water carrier.
All right, I got you.
You're not taking that through the bar. But he couldn't find anybody to help me, so he got one end and I got the other end, and we get it into the booth.
But from now on,
we got to take it through the window, and that doesn't really make clear to me how we're going to get it over the shelf, the countertop there where I sit,
right?
Sonny Sam and Frank, and you guys sit about 2 feet lower, down a couple of steps, down in front, and I sit above their shoulders so that I can see what's going on.
It's impossible to explain on the radio, but the way that this broadcast booth is set up. You're right. You're going to have a tough time bringing.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to get them up and over that counter.
Mm. So how did you get the stuff out of the broadcast booth?
It's still there.
You mean all of our equipment is still there?
Yeah.
You know, many times when you see a concert or a radio show or any broadcast, and they're doing just what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
they have stuff that they put down over hardwood floors.
Runners.
That's put down before the game,
yeah,
and then they lift it up.
It's not rocket science.
Absolutely. I mean, that runners, you've used runners during your whole career.
Right, yeah. And now what about the dress code?
Get this, you know. You're not taking this through the people up here. I said, well, that's why I'm here. It's noon. Kickoff's at what time?
Right.
You know,
this is at noon?
No one here yet.
This is at noon.
Yeah.
Yeah, kickoff was 8 o'clock.
Yeah. While this guy is going off somewhere to find an underling to help me carry this stuff, I get on the phone with Jimmy. And Jimmy says, ask for this guy. And so this guy pops back up, and I say, do you know blah, blah, blah? The guy goes, I'm his boss.
Oh, really?
Okay. So Jimmy basically tells me to... Make nice, and I do, you know.
Right.
It was very, and
is that your last contact with this guy?
Oh no, it gets better. I listened, you know. He stood there and yammered. He's yammering at me in the booth there about. He looks at me and says, "This is your game day attire."
Oh my God!
Yeah, I told you. I might have worn the tux, but I knew I was going to be crawling around on the floor.
He had on virtually the same thing he has on now. Same thing every day. Jeans and a t-shirt. He's an engineer.
That's what engineers wear, though.
The shirt that I had on didn't say anything. This is for today.
And Wendell's wearing a t-shirt today. He says, I dressed this way to annoy you.
As a matter of fact, I think he may have had on a short sleeve button down shirt.
It was.
Right.
Wow. It was. Pair of shorts, hiking boots, nothing outrageous. You know?
A short sleeve button down with a collar?
Yeah, with a collar.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Your game day attire.
He said, this is your game day attire?
That was a question. This is your game day attire?
And you...
So he said he was going to go get me a shirt at some point in time. I figured that wouldn't happen, and it didn't. But, he's going on about this, about we got to limit the number of people in the booth. And I start counting noses in my head, saying, okay, we got Jimmy, we got Sonny Sam Frank, we got me, we got Charlie, and so on. We wind up with about 15 people. Well, we got to keep that number down. Da, 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 da.
So you basically
we can't have visitors up here. We can't have people coming and going. I said, well, okay, we're going to have to come and go to probably get, you know, beverages and to relieve ourselves. Can we get down here to the bath? Nope. Got to go down to the press box. I said, our commercial breaks are 90 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not enough time.
Right.
It's not enough time to run down there.
There is a bathroom that is 15 seconds down the hall.
It's the bathroom we used all last year.
Right.
It's the same bathroom.
It's been plated. It's the bathroom that I got turned away from this year. That when I went to use it, a guy said, you're not a sweet holder.
There's something that disturbs me more than anything you've said. Don, you said you weren't able to use this bathroom, but we had an individual who came in here a moment ago, Charles Broyhill, who said he was in this
bathroom. Once this guy went away, which was far too long after he showed up,
right?
Our treatment improved markedly.
Here comes the man that had the privilege of using the gold-plated bathroom. And it's gold-plated, Wendell? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I went down to the plebeian's bathroom. You know?
I hope you took a dump in there, Charlie.
All over the floor. Jumped up and down on it.
Oh, boy.
Threw it against the mirror.
Right. Monkey style.
And the TV. Smeared it all over the screen.
So you want an apology.
Hold on.
How did you get into that bathroom?
I just walked down there in my shorts. With my collared shirt.
He looks like a sweet holder.
Oh, that's another thing I heard. No more shorts.
No shorts at all.
Gee, it was only 90 in the booth.
Even though, and the press box is not air conditioned.
August.
Our room is air conditioned. Yeah,
your room is window not the press box, right?
Yeah, but there's no window because they had to take the window out of the wall so they could theoretically get the equipment in and out.
I assume that's how they're going to get it out. I'm not going
to
see it.
The equipment is supposed to go to Cleveland. The Redskins play in Cleveland this weekend.
I have a question. If the people that you're on the suite level with these new highfalutin suites that they have there. If somebody wants to go to a game and wear shorts and stay in one of the suites, will they kick them out if they're dressed improperly, or is that the dress code? Is there a dress code?
I don't know if they treat all their clients this way or not. I think it's just us.
I think if you pay $80,000 to sit there,
you can sit in your underwear, can't you?
Yeah, you can sit there J.O. if you want.
You saw me?
That would be something. Those AOL people, boy, they don't want to throw a party.
All right, so you want a letter of apology from Daniel Snyder.
Basically.
What would you like it to say, Wendell? I mean, if it was... I know, obviously, you're probably a very busy man.
Sorry for treating you like a peon. Sorry for treating you like a subhuman. You know, we don't really mean that you're the entertainment. The viewing window really isn't meant to imply that you are here to put on a show for the rich folks. Please go ahead and do your jobs, and we'll try to make you as comfortable as possible.
There you go.
That won't happen.
Badly. No. I'm not holding my breath.
All right. Thank you, Wendell. He's still very angry, though.
Oh, the dude came back. The dude came back after the game, after we're done. Everybody else is left. It's just me and Chris Owens. I got my briefcase in one hand. I got my toolbox in the other hand. I'm going to walk him across the bar because can't roll anything out. And he comes up to me and starts yammering away about how he wants to see us all in matching shirts and pants.
Oh, God.
I said to him, I don't take to men dressing me, and left.
Oh, my goodness.
Matching shirts and pants.
Matching shirts and pants. Do you think he's going to want to dress all you guys in matching shirts and pants? Like burgundy pants and burgundy shirts?
Probably like coach's attire. Yeah. Probably like, you know, khaki pants and the coach's shirt.
Queer.
God.
This is what happened. You're supposed to treat the media at least civilly.
No. This is more than media. This station pays...
Yes.
$6 million freaking dollars a year for the opportunity to broadcast the game.
That's a hell of a lot more than those skyboxes.
Mm-hmm.
For that kind of money, you'd think we could take a leak down there.
Yeah, I would think so, especially when you've only got 90 seconds to do it, because you are working
breath. The other choice is, you know, excuse me, son, excuse me, Frank.
Yeah, that's what Wendell suggested to me. He said, why don't you just pee right out the window? Cause, you know what you might want to do? Of course, if you pee out the window, you will pee directly on people in their seats.
Well, for the next game, do what we do at our Las Vegas Now shows when we don't have get property. Get a bucket.
Get a bucket. Just pee into a bucket.
Get the pee bucket.
There's that viewing window thing there, and that could be more of an attraction.
Hey, bargain, you know? Yeah. That's c'est la vie.
What about the door being locked?
Yeah.
That's the last thing I want to find out about.
I think that's got to be an F-up. I can't imagine the fire code would have been like that.
You know what you have every right to do? That's your booth when you're in there. No, it's not.
Remember, we're not allowed to bring guests up. Hey, guess who's in having football signed by the Hall of Famers?
Right. Why don't you put up like a get some blankets and put some blankets over the glass window?
I tried that. Sonny came by and said, "Got to take those down." Okay.
Wow. You know what else?
Everybody was down, but Sonny, pardon my French, but what the F are we? F and trained monkeys? Yep.
Yep. You know what else everybody else was pissed about? You know Jerry's Seafood? It's goddamn best seafood in the world. Great perk with doing the games. This guy Jerry.
Kind of the reason to go to the game, if not for the game itself.
Mm-hmm. This guy Jerry, he comes up and he brings us a giant spread for the pregame show.
Right.
Then he brings them a giant spread at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, crab cake, lobster, shrimp, everything. This guy lays it out.
Crab soup, lobster bisque.
They wouldn't let Jerry bring his food in there.
Oh, my God.
This week either.
We had hot dogs.
Oh, guys, this is so... That sucks. I mean, you have the one things you look forward to, and, you know, it's just having a little fun while you're working, and now they've taken it all away.
Keep in mind, this is a station that's paying gigantic money for the opportunity to broadcast the games.
You know, well, I think you probably had a bad week, but with a point man like Jim McClure, I think all these things are going to be taken.
Oh, yeah.
Wendell.
Jesus. All right, thank you, Wendell.
Thanks, Wendell.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, my name's Jed. I was in the TV booth right next to you, Don, and it was absolutely ridiculous there Friday.
Hold on, what were you doing? You mean with George?
Yeah, I was in the TV crew, setting up the lights, you know, just doing menial work, peon work, but they treated me like I was a retard. I swear to God, it is easier to get into the Pentagon than it is to FedEx Field.
This is obviously new. They've said we're gonna clamp down on the press. Is that what they're?
I don't know.
I don't understand why you have to dress up in a booth while I'm carrying boxes around and.
Do you work for Channel 4?
Yeah, I'm a freelancer, and they hire me.
All right. Did somebody tell you that you have to have a dress code also?
Oh yeah, at the Ravens Redskins scrimmage, I was doing camera, and I got an email about wearing khakis and they're going to provide a shirt, and I thought it was like a half a joke because I couldn't believe it. Never like that any other stadium. Now I've worked.
Get that of all the people you don't want to do that to, it's people that work in the broadcast.
But the thing is, this is why they can do it. Nobody will say anything.
They're petrified.
Yeah, they're petrified because the Redskins are the only thing in town.
Right.
The Redskins are going to be great this year. They're going to go to the Super Bowl this year. Nobody wants to piss off the Redskins. You know?
That's such crap.
I wouldn't be surprised they try to fire me from the pregame show just for discussing this. I mean, they can't because I don't work for the Redskins. I work for JFK.
Right.
And that's what I said. Nobody around here has got a spine. But Jesus, somebody from here should have called the Redskins and said, listen, you know, we're paying $5-6 million a year for the opportunity to broadcast the game. You know, how about letting our guys have passes to get on the field?
How about letting your guy that has no effect on money that's being made at the stadium, he wants to bring in your food. That you look forward to, and they won't let him do that.
Well, Mike, you couldn't do that, you see.
Why?
Because, well, it might offend the people in the suites who are eating their food from Ridgewell's Catering.
Oh, my God.
See, if they were to bring in the common seafood from Jerry's Seafood, and that's why we can't have these chaps wearing their burgundy jeans and their T-shirts.
Do you think that if you were in a different location, if you were down like where the rest of the media is, do you think that it might be different? Or do you think this all is because one individual wanted to be...
Maybe it is, and it could be to an extent, because our booth is where Sonny wanted our booth to be. That could be because we're by the new expensive suites. But I know, listen, when I talked to Rennie Knott from Channel 7, he was pissed. He couldn't get on the field.
Mm-hmm.
He had a report during the 5 o'clock news. He couldn't get on the field to do the report.
Man, this is nasty.
Because they didn't want people on the sidelines. Meanwhile, you've got, you know... friends, hangers-on, down there, walking around.
Women with fur. Women with their big hats.
Jesus. Right. Their wrap-around Gucci glasses.
Hi there. Ooh, look at a football player. Ooh, now listen. Look at that chap in the... Now, is that a suite next to us, or is that a radio booth? Look at that chap. Oh, look at his hideous gut.
Oh, no, Lovey. That's Wendell Smoot Hall.
Well, someone should put him in khaki slacks and a Redskins coach's shirt immediately.
I'd love to meet the guy that said, is that your game day attire? Game day attire.
Right. Darling, I don't feel quite safe with all those broadcasters next door. Why don't you see if you can really get a lock to lock them in the room?
That's the one thing Wendell didn't talk about, that you're locked in.
Like the monkeys that they are, so we may observe them in their habitat, but we must not be afraid that they could actually get amongst us.
You don't think that there's going to be a chance that they're actually going to let the radio people use our bathroom that we have for the suites?
That's not why we're paying $80,000 a game. They can take a crap down the hall, Lovey.
Well, for God's sakes, they can simply hold it. I mean, it's only a 3.5-hour football game. For the love of God, they, you know, well, the reason they have to use the facilities is because they're letting all that free seafood in there. So prohibit that. Prohibit them from using the facilities. And if they have to go, they're just going to have to suffer and hold their water.
Now, Lovey, I love that Deion Sanders. He's so cute. Will you give me a field pass so I can go on the field and see him?
Of course, darling. They've opened up all the field for all the suite holders. They've done it by restricting the media. They don't need to be down there covering the game, broadcasting it for all the common people. There's absolutely no reason they need to do that at all. None whatsoever. But for the love of God, don't let them in the bathroom. Oh, my God. And that Wendell Smoot Hall, please ask him, is that his game day attire? Is that his game day attire? And, put a lock on the door, keeping them in so they can't get out if we don't want them to.
You're locked in the Big Brother press booth.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, great, thanks.
Last year we had a strange day over at FedEx Field. A friend of ours has one of the luxury boxes up there at the stadium. And when we went up there before, up at Camden Yards, he had the same box, and everything is included in the price of the box, you know, all the food and drinks.
Yeah.
But over there at FedEx Field, it was like six of us, and our wives went with us. We were surprised when the guy came in and gave us a bill for $1,400 for drinks and...
For six people?
I almost had an effing heart attack.
Sure. Love it.
When I brought the people there and they expected me to pay the whole bill.
Oh, my
Lovey,
God.
Look how reasonable this is. We've had two sandwiches, two bourbons and waters, and you had a grasshopper. It's only $1,400, Lovey.
Oh, a small price to pay to be able to observe the radio monkeys over there. Look at how they scurry around during their broadcast.
But you think they could knock a little off this, Lovey, because they're not wearing their game day attire.
Now, listen, I would be more than happy to pay even more if I could see all those radio broadcasters in burgundy blazers, burgundy polo shirts, and burgundy pants with burgundy shoes. Matching shoes and belts in their game day attire.
And for the love of God, please don't roll that equipment across the bar floor. Please.
Lovey, I hate to complain. Somebody farted.
Oh, no.
You know, we don't fart. It had to be someone from the booth next door.
It's one of those radio broadcasters. I believe it's seeping over the glass and into our booth. Now, just pay our $1,400 tab for our sandwiches and let's go. My goodness, what a lovely day at the game. Lovely to be part of the privileged few.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
The Redskins must be really confident that they're going to go like 17-0, because if they start tanking, I would imagine the press would kind of bury them.
Oh, listen, that's where you're wrong. They won't. The Redskins get their asses kissed in this town like nobody in any other town.
That's thing on my head. Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Thank you for the honor and privilege, sir.
I mean, listen, who's going to crap on them? George?
Yeah.
No, George, listen, George is having an anal with the Redskins. George, Jesus, he's given all of his sun in, suntan stuff.
You got balls, you know. You are working during the pregame show, and I know that it's not easy, probably. I mean, you know you're taking a chance, Joe, because you love that. You love doing it, and nothing you said today.
Can me?
It just, I mean, I swear to God, though, somebody's got to speak up and say
something. Who's going
to
say something? George won't. George is in bed with him.
Right.
Rennie won't. Because he's got to get his stuff from them.
Sure, I mean, you know, absolutely.
Jess won't, because he's got to get his stuff from them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will. I guarantee tonight when you watch the news at 6 and 11, no one's going to come out and say, hey, we weren't allowed on the field before the game.
Right.
Everybody's going to talk about, you know, how great the Redskins are, and they're going to be a great team.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
They're going to be the greatest. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, this is BS what's going on with the Redskins, but I bet they won't treat the ABC Monday Night Football crew like that.
You are incorrect, sir.
Really?
I asked that very question. I said, because the booth where George and Sonny were calling the game from, the TV booth, I said, so that's going to be the Monday Night booth? They said, oh, yeah.
Said, so these guys like Dennis Miller and Dan Fouts, Al Michaels, are all going to be on display for the people?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to love that.
I said, you mean the people from AOL are going to be able to look and see One Sweep Down and watch the Monday night broadcast? Oh, yes. And
oh,
I said,
boy. You better believe they're going to put blankets up, I guarantee it.
And you mean to tell me that the Monday night equipment is going to have to come in through the window, through the front of the booth? They said, oh, yes.
I'd like to see them try.
The same for every national game.
Really?
I said, what about when Madden and Summer all come to call a Redskins game? Same deal for everybody.
So Madden and Summerall are going to be on display.
Yeah.
I don't see that happen. I can't laugh.
Let me look.
Well, it might happen somewhere else. I'd like to know if there's a precedent.
Let me look. Look, there's that fat gentleman who's afraid of airplanes, Luffy.
Oh, my goodness. It's John Madden. What a treat. Could I have another $47 celery steak, please?
Luffy. Oh, look, there's that foul-mouthed comedian from HBO that we don't like, Luffy.
Oh, I certainly hope they didn't roll their equipment across the bar floor. Hope they brought it through the window. And I know he's a wonderful talent, and I know he's going to add a lot to the broadcast, but please remind him that he's supposed to wear his game day attire, and he's not supposed to pee in our bathroom.
Luffy. Luffy. John Madden was just taking a number two in our bathroom, and I hate to tell you what it smelled like in there, Luffy.
That is totally unacceptable. Where's my $150 sandwich? This is delicious. Is this fresh turkey?
clear the lines out. I mean, you know our feelings about this.
Amazing.
We don't want him to call it right now.
I tell you, we've made one person very happy today, and that's Wendell Smoothall. I know he is dancing back in the engineer's room right now saying, thank you, Don and Mike, for doing this.
Be the 100th caller, love it.
Mm-hmm.
A chance to win for $500. Who would call a radio show for $500? Right, that would buy you onion rings at the suite at the stadium. Why don't they just give away onion rings, Lovey?
Well, same type of people that wouldn't wear the proper attire on game day.
Let them call for that contest, Lovey.
Absolutely. We'll sit back and observe through our glass window as members of the privileged few.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Call 100 right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We want to congratulate
song for the world.
Mike Laverne. Mike Laverne is the guy who had his wife eat the peanut butter out of his dookie last week.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He won the LASIK surgery from Winton Laser Eye Associates and TLC Laser Centers. Call them for a free screening to see if laser vision correction is right for you. Call 1-800-626-LASER or visit WittenLaserEye.com.
That's the guy that did yours.
Yeah, Dr. Witten. Nice write-up on him and USA Today last week. They had a big article about Tiger Woods.
Absolutely.
I'd like to say hi to the general manager of this station, Mr. Alan Linewand.
Hi, Alan.
Who right now has the biggest uckered...
Hold on.
Oh, he wouldn't be him calling.
No, it wouldn't happen that quickly.
Hello?
Hola.
Hey.
Hola, hey, sweetie.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, from Spain.
Yes, I miss you. I was just sitting at dinner. It's a quarter after 11 here, and the man next to me was smoking a Cohiba, and it made me miss my baby.
Oh, well, okay, honey, I love you. I miss you.
I miss you, too.
I was just mentioning that the general manager right now is very, very tense about what Mike and I might say next. We've been describing the goings-on at the game on Friday night.
Oh, yeah?
You know,
yeah.
The stuff, you know, that didn't have anything to do with us.
Well, as much as, you know, it's hard for you to be a conformist, you want to ingratiate yourself in that place, so you don't want to rock the boat.
Well, too late for that, honey.
I believe the boat's taking on water right now.
All we've done is speak the truth.
I know. You're too honest for your own good.
All we've done is speak the truth.
I should say we've also spoken the truth in what I consider to be a rather entertaining and funny way.
Oh, good.
Well, yes. What? So the worry of the general manager is that we'll continue and that the team will find out about this, and then the team will be very angry.
Yes, the concern is that the sensibilities of the powers that be will be offended by our continuing discussion of the inappropriate behavior of certain Redskins officials.
Well, you're lucky that's just your part-time work.
That's what Alan is most concerned about.
So please, while I'm over in a different continent, please don't screw up your regular job.
Honey, don't worry.
I can't forget the last time I left the country and left you home alone and you walked out.
Darling, that was nearly 12 years ago.
Okay, good.
But 10 years ago. When was that we walked out?
Was she out of the country when we walked out of the radio station?
She was. The events were unrelated, though.
That's right. We simply had enough and decided we would take a powder, and I believe that was, as you said, 12 years ago.
I know, but there wasn't that calming influence that I sometimes provide.
Maybe 11, maybe 9. I'm not sure.
Maybe 10? Who knows?
Whatever. We did walk out, and you were in Thailand.
You still got shake and bake.
I've got one bag left, lovey.
All right, good. And I have another present for you hidden, a bonus present.
I described my problem with the clues and the book being underneath the chair.
Did you find today's?
Yes, I did.
For God's sakes, man, it couldn't be any more clear. It was under the cushion. That's, of course, where it was.
I knew it.
No need for you to go scurrying around the toilet.
Well, it said where your friends go with their butts.
No, I meant their cigar butts.
I know you did, yes.
Well, did you find today's, in fact, the grandfather clock?
Yes.
Okay, well, there's a bonus clue. You've got a few bonus presents coming your way.
So
and there's
clear.
A bonus one in the box in the living room next to the clock that Bart made me. Look in there for a clue when you get
in the box in the clock that Bart made you.
Yes, in the living room. Do you know which one is the living room?
Yes, lovey, that's the room we're not allowed to sit in.
Yes, that's it. The room where the piano sits all by itself.
Right, lovey.
All right, good.
Got you.
All right, well, I miss you.
All right, miss you too. I love you.
All right, goodbye, sweet pea. Right, I love you too.
How's your mom?
Oh, she's great. We were out taking the BART tour of the nightlife. You know, she had multiple beers. We're having a good time.
It's like 11 o'clock there.
Will you be going to the bullfights?
No, but, you know, tomorrow we're thinking the topless beach that BART has told us.
Ah.
For Grandma and me.
I'd pay to see your mom at a topless beach. All right, honey, I love you.
All right, I love you too.
All right.
Goodbye, sweet pea.
Bye-bye.
You'd pay good money for that.
That's my wife. She's summering in Spain. She's summering on the coast of Spain. She's taking up a little villa. And hopefully next year will be the French Riviera. Yes, Saturday in Nice. Up the Riviera. Yes, go to Cannes. You know, I wish we could afford a suite. We only have club-level seats. Only club-level. I told her I'm so embarrassed going to the game.
Oh, let me tell you something. You don't want that super deluxe suite. You have to rub elbows with those filthy radio people that don't dress in the Kindy attire.
So anyway, that's, you know. I walked back in the other room and Broyhill's on the phone with Alan. And that was Alan's big concern.
Oh, yeah. Come on now.
Come on.
We're just having fun. Get over it.
Call 100 time, and here we go.
Hello?
Yeah, am I caller 100?
Well, yes.
Oh, wonderful.
You have the amazing good fortune to be the 100th caller in the show. Listen, what's your name?
Don.
Don, where are you from, Donald?
I'm in Richmond.
Richmond, Virginia.
That's right.
There's nothing good about that town. What, there's no culture? Very low literacy rates.
I'll tell you right now.
And they don't have a damn thing to do with ballet or opera.
There was something special back in the days of Virginia Commonwealth University when our own Robert Wadham Spiewak was there.
He's common white trash.
That's right, of course. I didn't. I forgot to check his pedigree. Lord Spiewak of Wadham's.
Poor breeding.
You're so right. Where's my $200 sandwich?
Oh, look at this. This is the best $37 deviled egg I've ever eaten. That goes down good.
You have won 25 Durex condoms.
I have? Thank you.
Did you hear that, lovey? They're giving away condoms on the radio.
Can you imagine anything more gauche? Giving away prophylactics on the radio. Simply disgusting. What a bunch of baboons. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them indeed. But don't let them use our toilet.
Do you think Don and Mike are wearing their game day attire right now?
Well, it wouldn't matter. They'll probably just stink it up in a matter of moments anyway. But it sure is fun to look at them through the cage. I mean, the glass. There you go.
Feel love the way it's supposed to feel. Set yourself free with the most exciting condoms ever made. Durex condoms. Are you ready to go for the big money?
Yes. Thank you, Don and Mike, for the condoms. I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. $500 online. We'll play you the sound now. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
a snobby person.
And we wish you
good sleep.
Caller, name this sound.
Well, this is such an entertaining concept they have.
This.
It's much like someone playing the lottery. It amuses me, these small people who actually think they have a chance to win the money.
And they are in my favor because I am a chosen member of the privileged few.
Yeah.
$500. Lovey, please.
$500. My goodness, that wouldn't get you a wedge of toast.
It's toilet paper.
Absolutely.
A $500 bill, Lovey.
I clean myself a bit.
Okay, what is it? For $500, what's the sound?
Okay, it's an appliance door opening.
No.
No.
Thank you, Dynamite.
You're wrong again.
Wrong again, unfortunately, but thanks for playing.
I believe Don and Mike will be offering the pittance of $500. Why not just offer 50 cents next hour?
That's not really. That's what it's worth in this day and age.
What they do, the secret sound. I think the secret sound is the sound of the door locking to lock all of the radio people inside their broadcast booth at the stadium.
Good God, man. $500 wouldn't buy you a mandarin orange slice. Love of God. Please.
And get that man in his game day attire.
Look at what they're wearing. T-shirts and denim. My God, what ill breeding.
The dungarees. Very common dungarees.
My goodness, it's the Fruit of the Loom. His outfit's by Fruit of the Loom. Have the man removed. Have him, no, better yet, lock him in from the outside. And don't let him roll anything across the bar floor. It's wonderful hardwood.
Hold on, we got to do a break. We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
How are you?
Hey, we're both starving. When do we eat, huh?
You have worn out your welcome at Bushwood, sir.
Is that so? Who made you pope in this dump, huh?
Bushwood? A dump? Well, I'll guarantee you'll never be a member here.
Member? Are you kidding? You think I'd join his crummy snobatorium? But his whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks. Only reason I'm here is maybe I'll buy it.
Buy? Bushwood?
Laugh, nut, funny. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we tried.
Yeah, we do indeed.
Right, we're going to get back to this Fanny thing. Fanny in England.
Fanny.
But first, a few calls. See, the lines are still ringing. Phones are working incidentally now.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, good Monday to you.
Right, hi, Monday.
Yes, Monday.
Right.
Hey, it may have been a repeat, but did you know that Rudy Marski was on the Arliss Show last night?
You know what?
In a speaking part. Probably on about 20, 25 seconds.
We knew that. We knew he had a cameo coming up. I watched Sex in the City last night.
I watched it, too. I don't watch that show very often, but I watched it in its entirety last night.
I turned it off.
Because Arliss was coming on.
Right.
It's an automatic punch on the button.
Right.
You know, I mean, you hear stay tuned for Arliss next on HBO. I'm like, click.
Goodbye.
I have one more thought with you.
Well, no, hold on. Tell us how Rudy was on the show.
Okay.
Was he stiff and wooden?
He was sort of stodgy a little bit, you know, sort of sitting a little bit on the stiff side. But he was dickering with Arliss, he was going to
take... Pardon me? He was doing what with Arliss?
He was dickering with Arliss.
Really? Oh, that's disgusting. I didn't know that HBO could show that.
Sure they can. They show homo scenes.
He was going to take some time off, and he wanted Arliss to do his column for free.
He was dickering with Arliss.
Yeah.
Boy, Robert Wool and Rudy Marsky dickering with each other. Rudy loves dickering.
Yeah, listen, I got a fanny pack comment for you.
What?
You don't have to worry about taking fanny packs anywhere in the U.S. anyway, because they've got those little vending machines inside the ladies' rooms. You were misunderstanding the word pack.
It was such a nice call at the beginning.
Right. I mean,
it was a new, fresh thing. And
are you talking about Tampax?
Yeah.
Right. So you should have not even tried.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks anyway.
Goodbye. Thanks so much.
We got to get a tape of Rudy on our list, though.
Yeah.
That'd be a good goof on him when he's on the show this week.
You know, I think you put Rudy Marsky next to Robert Wool, and that's two acting tastes that taste great together.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, Don Mike Buzz.
Hi.
Hey.
This is Eddie from Queens. You remember I told you I was making signs?
Oh!
At the Shea Stadium?
Eddie.
Oh, I was censored.
Now, you remember Eddie from Queens,
right?
He's going to the Mets game Saturday night. He's going to hold up a sign that said,
Don and Mike, the show that brings you even more jizz.
Right.
And I had a couple of toads, you know what I'm talking about, colored in.
Yeah.
And they told me if I didn't put down the sign, I would be out of my seat.
Were you wearing your game day attire?
Oh, yes. I was wearing it was Irish night. I had the green hat.
Irish night.
Yes.
All right.
Right, right.
So do you
and get rowdy.
So do you think the people at Shea knew what jizz meant?
Oh, come on. Everybody in New York knows what jizz means.
Yeah, it's New York, of course. And that's why they probably told him to leave.
Yeah, but I mean, I was really pissed off. I don't know if I got on camera, but listen, it's just before the game. I don't know if it was televised. And Tom Seaver was picking his nose, like, forget it, like he was digging for oil. It was on the big Teletron, but I don't know if it made TV.
Oh, you mean it was on the thing in the stadium?
Yeah, everybody was cracking up. Give him an effing shovel.
Hey, how do you think he used to get that great curveball?
I was just about to doctor the ball.
He didn't eat it, did he?
No, but he didn't know where to put it. That was so funny about it. He didn't wipe it on his suit or what?
He's out of baseball now. He doesn't know where to put it.
Oh, no, hold on. What did he do with it after he took the booger?
You usually roll it up and flick it off your
seat. Roll and flick.
No, no, what did Tom Snyder do?
No, Tom
Seaver.
Tom Seaver.
Tom Snyder used to put him in his spittoon.
he felt so out of place. I don't know what
Tom Snyder.
He was like just like rubbing his like hip area.
Damn,
I mean, wiped it off.
All right. Eddie, thank you for attempting to hold up the sign.
I tried, man.
Thank you. Eddie, you're a good man.
Thanks, Eddie.
Come
love
see
the
us.
Show.
Thank you. Come see us the next time we're in New York.
I will. I'll come to 888.
888, 7th Avenue. Absolutely.
That's our building. Thank you, Eddie. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, when we were up there last week, when Frida came up, she didn't want to see the Empire State Building. She didn't want to see Trump Tower. The only thing she wanted to see, really, was that I had told her that the Hooters, that's by WNEW, is the Hooters from Big Daddy.
Right.
That's what she wanted to see.
So did you go in and eat at Hooters?
No, I just took a picture in front of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a dumb mook tourist.
Wasn't it like shortly after that we left that on the weekend, I think, sometime they had a horrible elevator accident in the World Trade Center Tower where it went up past the 78th floor
and kept going?
Mm-hmm. Eight people, and the car slammed up against the ceiling and then dropped back down. It went past its stopping.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Here we go! Let me just pull the lever. There we go.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Sorry about the broken bones.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Don Mike.
So anyway, our building is at 888...
7th Avenue.
7th Avenue in New York, which is right next to the Hooters where they film Big Daddy.
And we've never had a problem with our elevator. No, it's actually running in fine order.
In our building, never.
No, not at all.
At the one there in New York?
No, no problem at all with our elevator at all. But when I saw this news story and they said broken bones, that apparently this thing was moving at such a velocity of speed that it hit the top of this. And can you imagine you're going from floor number one and 78 is the top floor and the thing is getting faster and faster. I can't think. And the story I saw, Buzz, said that they were actually treating people for broken bones and psychological trauma.
Oh, sure.
And it's
absolutely
just like,
I'm going to go on an elevator again. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Terrifying.
Unbelievable. 78 floors.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, last night on the Arliss show, Rudy actually told Arliss, he said, blow me.
Was that a quote?
He actually told Arliss to blow him.
Well, then we have to get a...
You're going to have to get some tape on that one.
We got
to
get a tape of it.
Were you watching the show or you were on the set?
That was a personal conversation between Rudy and Robert Wall.
Hey, Robert.
Blow me.
Hey, between takes.
Don and my show.
Hi. I was wondering if I could get a bumper sticker.
A bumper sticker? What, honey? How about one that says, Jesus Christ is my co-pilot?
No.
How about one that says, if you don't like my driving, call 1-800-FU.
How about WJFK?
Oh, you mean, yeah, we'll send you out a WJFK bumper sticker.
Okay, because I'm in California.
Would you like an autographed picture also?
Yes.
Great.
Sure.
Would you like the
Cam
Cooley?
Yes.
Would you like a fur coat? Would you like to be Pope?
Yes.
Would you like an exclusive visit to one of the star suites at FedEx Field?
Yes.
All right, honey, let me tell you something. You see, WJFK is a cheap radio station. They have absolutely no bumper sticker, no paraphernalia.
We have simply been able to garner these number one ratings without dropping dime one on any of that souvenir memorabilia.
So we don't have anything to send you, darling.
That's right. We don't even have a plastic comb with our names on it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But you're not even in the WJFK area, are you? Where are you calling from?
Sacramento.
Well, then why did you call that station and ask them for a bumper sticker?
But I don't like your station. I just like when you're on.
Well, you show exquisite taste there, my dear. Call the retarded program director of KHTK. His name is Michael Ramey. Ramey. He's a retard.
He is indeed.
He's a total leotard. Like many of those people that were in the booth next to us, I couldn't believe it. Touching themselves, scratching themselves, not wearing their game day attire.
And I'll tell you, this glass wall is supposed to be sound and smell sensitive, but I believe I can smell them. I can smell them, especially the one with the button-down shirt over there.
That's Wendell Smoothall.
Wendell Smoothall. Well, next week, my man, wear your game day attire.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I want to talk about the FedEx Stadium.
What about it?
Yeah, I work there. I'm one of the guys actually doing the construction.
Well, good. It's a beautiful stadium.
Are you working on the escalator?
No, working inside that you're talking about.
Good God, man. I mean, let the common people not have to walk up seven tiers.
You know, no, get that thing
done. Get that done now.
No, I'll let you know. It's not the hardwood floor. It's carpet that's being ripped out. It's the cherry molding that's going to be ripped out.
It's the cherry. Listen, whatever. If it's the hardwood floor, the carpeting, or the cherry molding, tell that engineer not to roll the equipment on the floor.
It's not him. It's Dan Snyder.
Well, it's a little elbow grease, man. Tell him to heft it up. And he doesn't need one of my underlings to help him. Just don't use those horrible wheels. Scratch the dickens out of this hardwood floor.
All those drain pipes that are in the way of the windows, they're all coming out.
Well, I've noticed that was something that was just an aesthetic thing in front of our broadcast booth.
Right. Drain pipes? My God! How gauche.
It looked like the underneath of a trailer you'd see on that program Cops.
I hate that show, honest to God, but it does give you a slight perspective on the way the other half moves.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi, guys. Just wanted to let you know that gentleman, Eddie from Queens, that his sign did make it on television. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, live out in the Bay Area, and the top of the first inning, they actually showed his section because two foul balls went over that way, and he had to sign up twice.
Isn't it great being on all over the country?
That's fantastic. Eddie, I hope you hear that on the replay tonight on NEW.
Way to go, Eddie.
Eddie from Queens, signed Don and Mike show, now with more jizz.
Oh, it was beautiful. Me and all my buddies were laughing, and there's two of us that actually listen to your show all the time, and now the other four guys over there, hey, what radio station is it on out here? I got to listen to the show.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend. That's very nice. Way to go. Eddie, see, he didn't think he got on TV. He got on TV.
Eddie.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Wendell can wear the opposing team's colors and always be in game day attire.
You know, I'm not sure what the, they're heavy-handed, aren't they?
Yes.
They're very heavy-handed. I don't think that would find favor with the ownership.
I don't think so. Put him in some nice khaki slacks and give him one of those nice Adidas shirts.
What about if we were to put him in a chicken costume? Now, that would be big fun. That would amuse the people in the privileged suites.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Hey.
Hello.
I was working at FedEx Field Wednesday, installing
that bar you were talking about.
Oh, right, the one right by the broadcast booth.
Yeah, the glass booth there.
Yeah.
Well, when I got there, they told me I couldn't bring my tools in the suite elevator and across the hardwood floor. They wanted me to go up scaffolding, and they cut out the railing, you know, where you cross over to go to the elevator.
So let me see if I've got this straight. What they wanted you to do was to actually risk your life to bring your tools up to where you were doing your work. Is that correct?
That would be correct, sir.
So is that
what you did?
No, I used the elevators. I had hell with them.
Well, I'll tell you, we lost another laborer. We lost Don, we lost another laborer last week. Seems that he fell from the scaffolding, bringing his tools up the back way, and broke his back.
Well, it's a small price to pay. Well, look at the cherry molding. Because there's not a scratch on it.
Fantastic.
Where's my $400 bag of potato chips?
That's good. Oh, there's another laborer bringing his tools on the elevator. I can smell the grease.
Smell the grease and see the dirt.
The common working man that we're surrounded by here.
Too tinky.
And look at those disc jockeys in the booth next door.
It was 2 days of hell getting in and out of there.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Just saw one scratch himself.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, good afternoon, Donald.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to let you know, a properly fitted several-row suit is more than acceptable for 1 and 4 o'clock games, but it's strictly black tie after 6.
Thank you.
And you must not drink a martini until after the cocktail hour.
Gotcha, thank you.
Thank you. I thought you would appreciate that. We do not wish to upset the common people.
Thank you, yes. Yes, so right.
I see all you guys in Texas. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike. Please turn down your radio for the love of Christ who died for your sins. Hello. See, you care nothing about Jesus. Hello, Don and Mike show. With all Jesus has done for you.
Excuse me, Jesus. I understand that you're loud here in the suite, but frankly, that's a hideous robe you're wearing.
And we cannot have those sandals up in the booth.
Would someone please tell Jesus to put on his game day attire?
I mean, I love that robe. It looks very good on you, but we're going to insist on a Redskins polo.
And listen, somebody call guest services. He's getting blood all over the place.
Oh, my goodness. And that beard does need a trim.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
I was wondering if you ever had the chance to attend an affair at the lovely Camden Yard. I've been there once with Peter, and it was a fabulous time.
Peter Angelos, he's a campy chap.
Peter Angelos is a lovely affair, lovely.
Lovely affair.
Lovely.
God bless for Jesus and you.
Thank you.
Thank you, lovey.
Lovely affair.
Thank you.
What a wonderful affair it was. Redskins 27, Pittsburgh 14. A lovely affair.
Which one's the Redskins, lovey?
They're the ones wearing the burgundy, I told you.
How many runs do they get when they run the little ball past the yellow line?
Usually a bit more than 20 if they're going to be on the winning side of the cricket match. Fantastic. Game day attire.
Do you believe it? We are paying only $80,000 a game for this box.
What do you expect when you see a man named Smoot in the room next door? Smoot. Fussing and fuming over the fact that they made him lift the box instead of roll it across the beautiful cherry molding.
Where's his game day attire?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
This is a local store for local people. There's nothing for you in here.
Well said.
History.
Well said.
When did football become the game of the privileged few?
When they started winning, darling. When they started winning.
Foolish me, there I am right in front of my eyes, and I didn't even see it.
I said I would never go while they played in that cesspool downtown. But now that they have the Cherrywood and the Ridgewood catering, well, it's nearly a perfect outing.
What can they do about the bugs that fly into the glass? Is there some way they could get someone, a laborer, up on some scaffolding, risk his life, and scrape away the insect carcasses?
Yes, lovey.
Oh, wait a minute. My $700 bowl of chili is getting cold.
Yummy.
Yummy, lovey.
Tasty chili.
Hold on. I do want to get back to this, the cunny thing from before.
The fanny thing.
Oh, and I've got another question. Maybe somebody can help me with it. When I was on my way to the stadium on Friday, I'm going to get to this point, the Beltway was was effed up both ways, going in inner loop and outer loop. So I cut through town. I took Constitution Avenue to New York Avenue, and I went that way through town. As I was cutting through town, I saw a guy standing on the corner. Now keep in mind, the movie The Replacements opened Friday night.
Right.
There was a guy on the corner selling videotapes of The Replacements.
Really?
Sure. Okay, my question is, how do they get them so quick? Because I know somebody out there knows. I'm sure someone got into a screening and held up a video camera.
Right.
This guy had like 20 copies of The Replacements. He was one of those guys at a stand, and the New York Avenue traffic was backed up way past the heck company.
I only know one thing about that.
What?
It's nothing you should occupy your time with. He's on a simple street corner, man.
Yes.
My goodness. Anyone that would buy those certainly should be a laborer.
He had The Replacements, which opened this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He also had the Richard Gere movie, Autumn in New York.
Did that just open?
Yeah, on Friday.
Right.
He had Space Cowboys, Hollow Man, and The Nutty Professor.
Yeah. And then when you get them home and you put it in your it's like, hey, this is a pretty good tape, isn't it? It's fantastic.
Yeah, but how do you get The Replacements the day it opens?
The number one way is they usually have a friend who's a projectionist, and when the theater gets the film a day or two before it opens, they make one copy, then they make a million copies of that copy.
Charlie Stossel has made like millions of dollars doing that. All I know is I was tempted for about 5 seconds.
Sure.
I was tempted. Said, like, you know, that's a movie I wouldn't mind seeing, but I really don't want to spend the money to go to the theater. That videotape was like $5.
That's not bad, especially for a movie that's in the theaters right now.
I'd love it.
I think it's, you know, why spoil yourself? Who knows where those hands have been?
I believe the last good film we saw was The Age of Innocence, and perhaps I'm Shakespeare in Love. That was a good one.
You mean you didn't like Sense and Sensibility?
Of course I did, Luffy.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Absolutely. I think I got a message for you, Luffy.
Oh, listen to this. Listen. Perk your ears up. Oh, my dear. There's moisture in the forest today.
I don't know if that is a... I don't know if that's sponsorable.
I really
pushed to make that one happen.
Well, you did first. I would check. I would check to see if there's any sign of oil deposits.
Check my drawers?
Absolutely.
All right. Not sponsored.
Is that your show day attire?
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
In fact, before I do this, I just want to leave a message for Don Geronimo. Donnie, you and I are good friends. We'll always be good friends. But Don, kiss my ass. Just kiss it.
Time for more Host Chat with Don and Mike.
There we are. Oh, listen, this week on the show, Strip Trivia, dedicated to Joe Lieberman. That's the Friday episode of Strip Trivia.
Good.
And we're going to be giving away a free trip to Arizona as the grand prize. And we will start trolling for that probably on tomorrow's show.
Good.
Cool. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I'm calling from Manassas, Virginia, and there's another radio station around here that plays the new Eve 6 song, Promise. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Sure.
And it's a pretty good song, but anyway, they say the F word, and they do not edit it at all.
You know,
I was wondering.
Listen, there has always been a double standard with radio stations playing songs that have bad words in them. You can hear a classic rock station play Jet Airliner that has the S word in it. You hear classic rock stations play the long version of Who Are You, where they sing Who the F Are You.
It's the only way to really hear that song is when they say it, you know, when they say the Who the F Are You part.
I think generally, although, there's a double standard because rap songs that have the F word get beeped out. But I know that classic rock stations get to play, and I guess whatever station you heard the Eve 6 song on, they get to play. I don't know. Maybe I don't have the answer for you.
I think with a little tighter legislation, though, we wouldn't have to worry about any of that crap.
Okay.
We may get it.
I don't know, though. I don't have an answer for you.
I just want to say it's complete BS that you guys can't say any of that, but they can go ahead and say anything they want.
Maybe if we sang it, we'd be able to.
Maybe. Oh, who the F are you?
How about a song?
All right. Goodbye.
Thanks.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Hey, I was going to tell you how they make them tapes.
Hey.
They take them.
Okay, listen. First, if you want to be a disc jockey, listen, I'll give you a big hint. When you answer the phone and a guy says, is it me?
Mm-hmm.
That's your sign that it's going to be a bad call.
You hung up on that guy?
Yes.
Oh.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Call back. I'll give you Mike's home number.
Because I wanted to hear the end of it, which would have been you take it, click, click, click. That's where he was getting
well,
to.
Obviously, he's going
to
say, you take a camera into the theater. You put it right in your lap with a digital camera.
Hit that button right there when my screen comes on with the Donald Sutherland, you know, click, click, Space Cowboys.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was talking, I got the Gladiator and Mission Impossible 2, like, the weekend they came out.
Yeah?
And, the color and the sound is all screwed up. I just saw it in the theater.
What type of person buys a bootleg video the day the movie comes out?
I almost did.
Well, Joe, you were going to do it as a curiosity.
Yeah, you
knew in your mind that you wouldn't be sitting down and
watching.
And it would be like a quality print that would be just a cinema quality.
I knew it'd be a piece of trash, but I figure at least that way if the movie's a piece of garbage, I've been wasted, 3 hours going to the theater and sitting through it. Mm-hmm. Hello, Donna Mike.
Yes, fellows. My inquiry is for Mr. Buzz Burbank.
Yes, sir.
Buzz?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you talk like Don and Mike?
Well, I could try.
Let us try. Come on now.
You know, what really disturbs me is that you can see the disc jockeys, and if it were had it my way, we would put a blanket around the entire booth.
You see, he's more than capable of doing it, sir.
Very well, sir.
He's a purebred. We haven't had Wadhams. Have you done it yet? I don't think you have.
Keep in mind, his real name is not Burbank, not that phony disc jockey name. He's from the Elstons, from the Kansas Elstons.
Oh, the Kansas Elstons.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I was confusing him with the other Elstons. They were Democrats. Yes. Rob, what is yours? Could you give us a little, please?
First, Rob, if you want to talk bloodlines, I'm Rob Spiewak of the Carteret Spiewak. Perhaps you've heard of us. At the first talking movie theater in Carteret. And I don't even go to the games. I just stay in the parking lot and have them bring my $9 beers to me.
What do you know of the Broyhill, the fabulous furniture Broyhills?
Oh, yes.
Where have they been? Is do the Broyhills speak like this also?
I would bet you all the money in my pocket. Now, you're going
That's
to laugh.
Quite a bit.
I have I have $4 in my pocket.
Then he won't be able to pull it off.
But he will not be able to.
Well, now I'm putting my money. I'm doing something I rarely do. I'm putting my hard-earned cash down on Mr. Broyhill to see if he can pull it off.
You think he can do it?
What is the wager?
$4 is all the money I have.
I've got three. I've got three and a lot of... Oh, look at these hundreds. Let's make the $3 bet.
All right, three.
Put your $3 right over there.
There you go.
Get Charles Loring Broyhill in here to see if he can
Charlie,
do it, if he can pull it off.
Come tell us about your experience in the suite.
Here we go.
Charles Broyhill.
As I look at his face, I believe I'm going to lose $3.
Let's hear you talk like this.
Charles,
come on, Charlie.
How are the furniture Broyhills doing?
They're good.
Thank you. I will take your $3.
Thank you very much.
Doubling my investment, meaning I can now stop at Boston Chicken on the way home.
My God, that's the quickest $3 I ever lost.
Although, if you really, really pay attention, my snobby accent sounds a lot like Jerry Seinfeld.
Who are these people? Well, I think we can conclude by that Jerry Seinfeld is one of the privileged few.
Mm-hmm. Yes, lovely. Did you hear about the deal he got in Manhattan? $1 million for a building to park his cars in.
That's exquisite opportunity. I'm so glad that he won't be cluttering up the streets of Midtown Manhattan, those pesky Mercedes-Benz. It's
lovely. I said when I pulled up to the stadium this week, I said, well, we cannot park our Bentley underneath where Sonny and Norm park their cars. We actually have to park out in the parking lot? Why, what is this with hanging a red, green, or blue ticket from the rearview mirror, Lovey?
I'm actually going to get rained on while those pigs in the radio booth are not wearing game day attire.
Where's the helipad? I see the parking spots, but where's the helipad?
I'll bring in my jetpack. my Savile Row suit.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Nope.
Not there. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hello, Radio Gods.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm very well. I'd like to tell you about the production of illegal videos. There are two ways that I have known...
Okay, I will explain something to you. Mm-hmm. Funny when we do it.
Yeah.
Not funny when you do it.
And funny when we're talking about what we're talking about.
Yeah, right. Go back to your regular voice when you want to talk about the other subject, which was making illegal videos.
Right. Correct.
Maybe we didn't do that, but we're allowed.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Of course we're.
Donald and Michael, you're not talking like Jerry Seinfeld. You sound like Sloane Peterson's father from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
This is Norm Peterson.
Yes, it is, Norm Peterson.
Hey, Sloane, meet me in front of the school.
Well, we've had a bit of bad luck this morning.
Yes, we seem to have lost Sloane's grandmother.
That was the best accent he did.
We've had a bit of bad luck.
Pardon my French, but you're an a-hole.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
We'll play one of those tapes coming out of our next break.
One of our Ferris Bueller tapes.
Oops. That's right, Buster.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, what's happening?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got a scoop about Cal Ripken.
Really?
Yeah, his wife is cheating on him.
You know, we get these calls every year about Cal.
It's poor Cal, who's only been one of the most loyal baseball players to the franchise in the history of the game.
I mean, I swear to God, every year it's either Cal is having sex with someone or Cal's wife is having sex
or
with someone.
Or Cal caught his wife having sex and beat a guy like within an inch of his life.
That's the one we got last year.
That was the one from last year.
He's taken on urban legend status at this point. It comes back every year.
And, you know, and it's a perfect guy to do it for because Cal, you know, the milk sponsorship, the All-American image, you know, the great company guy that, you know, took less money to stay with the Orioles. Let's run him down.
How do you have the scoop?
Gee, I'm sorry I mentioned it. One of my wife's coworkers knows for sure.
Yeah, and it's always that way, too. It's my wife's coworker.
And how does... Okay, I'm going to play along. How do you know that your wife's coworker knows for sure?
Well, she's pretty smart, and she...
No.
She doesn't spread rumors. She knows.
Now, how do you know that your wife's coworker knows? And you got to give us a better answer than she's pretty smart.
Well, her wife's coworker is neighbors with Cal Ripken.
Had you ever heard anything about Cal Ripken and this type of thing before you heard this story?
No, I haven't. That's why I was shocked when I heard it, because I love Cal Ripken. I love the Orioles.
Well, then,
I'm rooting for him.
Oh, yeah, you're a big fan. You're a giant fan of Cal. That's
Hello, Cal. Go ahead. Sorry about that extramarital affair.
Yeah, you're a giant fan. That's why you're calling us, to tell us that his wife is allegedly banging somebody else.
Well, that's what I heard, and that's why he's not playing. It's got nothing to do with his back injury. He's just...
Uh-huh.
Well, why don't you give me? He can't play.
Why don't you give me the phone number of your wife or the phone number of?
I knew you were going to ask
of the person who actually knows the story.
Yeah, now, I'm gonna do some more research and get back to you.
Yeah, you do that. Just remember that as Buzz said, it's an urban legend.
That's right.
Urban. I didn't realize.
I mean, it's been around for a year, at least 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And I think the most common one is the one that I was talking about, the one where you heard that Cal found them, you know,
caught a guy.
And he was so strong because he's such a great athlete, he beat the guy to death with a baseball bat.
Right, that's better.
But it got hushed up because he's Cal Ripken.
Sure.
Even though he beat a guy to death with a baseball bat.
Yeah, well.
And I'm sure that's the reason he's sitting out now. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with his bad back.
Right.
The
fact that it doesn't, because he's working out, he's in great shape, he's ready to rock and roll.
Oh, you work out with him, too?
No, I don't know.
Well, then how do you know he's working out? He's in great shape. How do you know that?
You know, that's I hear it, like, faintly. It's almost like it dropped out for a second.
He just hung up.
He's gone.
He's gone. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes.
Mike.
Hi.
Glenn Brenner calling.
No, is this the Morris Jones guy?
No, this is Glenn Brenner.
Okay, listen, no, that's not funny. We like Glenn Brenner.
I know, I like him, too.
I
just wanted to call.
We honor the memory of Mr. Brenner on this show.
I'm sorry. Normally we love goofing on dead people, not Glenn Brenner. Sorry. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
That was the Morris Jones guy, though, right?
I think sounds like him. And who's the other anchor that he does? Who's the regular guy?
Mike
Landis.
Mike Landis.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I'm Mike Landis.
Hello.
Hi. I'm just trying to say hi.
Hey, way to compose yourself.
How's your fanny, honey?
Oh, it's very fine.
Really?
Yeah.
You got a nice fanny?
Well, I guess.
You get what?
I guess so. I haven't really done it.
Have you ever been complimented on your fanny?
Well, sure.
In the wintertime, does your fanny get cold and wet?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What's the nicest compliment you've ever received about your fanny?
Oh, I don't know. Tastes good.
You don't hear that every day.
I don't know.
So who said your fanny tastes good?
My husband.
Well, who's the celebrity fanny that your fanny most resembles?
You know, I hear a lot of people tell me that I look like Topanga from that show, but of course much older.
Pachango?
We're talking about your fanny, honey. Whose celebrity does your fanny most resemble?
I don't know. Yeah, that's an even better way. I haven't seen anybody else's fanny except my own.
You know, it's usually a safe bet to go with Willie Nelson.
Or Rob Reiner.
Do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about.
Could it be Fidel Castro? Any member of ZZ Top?
All right.
There's some guy who plays for the Houston Astros. It might be Jeff Bagwell.
Yeah, I think it's Bagwell.
Yeah, the guy that's got the giant nose that goes all the way down.
And who's that soccer player, that redheaded soccer player?
Oh, the guy for the U.S. team. He's another one, too. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
That would be Hi. Molly Ringwald's fan.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yeah.
Mike Landis calling.
Oh, you're...
That wasn't Mike Landis before.
Oh, that wasn't?
No, that wasn't Mike Landis. That was an impersonator. This is the real Mike Landis.
Okay, I got you.
Don.
How's Morris Jones doing?
Morris Jones, you know, I can't believe I got his job. You know, it's like I'm older and, you know, more grayer, but it's... You know, Morris, he should be with me, teaming up, double
right.
team.
All right, goodbye. Good answer.
Hey, Don.
What?
Don, what's going on?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
More grayer.
Hello.
Fanny.
Hello.
Down, Fanny.
Fanny, are you
down,
my friend?
Fanny.
Mr. Scholarship winner.
Sit down, Fanny.
All right, goodbye. Listen, that's the one thing we haven't gotten to on today's show.
We got sidetracked. What with Wendell Smoot and all of the people being treated to... Poorly at the Redskins broadcast on Friday night.
I cannot believe that callous behavior. I'm surprised that Smoot's able to keep his head upright today.
And I heard a joke, listen to this one, lovey, that Smoot is demanding a letter of apology from DMS. Like that will happen.
Of course. He'll be waiting a long time. He certainly will. He'll be an old and gray man when he receives that correspondence.
He did.
My goodness, Smoot. For God's sakes, put your feet firmly on the ground, man.
Okay. The one thing we didn't do was, I told you that my wife had told us last week, you had known this for a long time. I had forgotten about it.
I've studied the fanny for years.
And I talked to a British neighbor over the weekend, and as it turns out, the word fanny in England means C-U-N Toledo. Uh-huh. So what we're going to do is attempt to call London, and we also have the number of British Air, Virgin Air.
Right.
And we're going to call them now.
And as a matter of fact, we can use our Redskin sweet voices.
That's a wonderful idea.
And we're going to ask them about fanny packs.
I'm going to ask the people at the airline, do they sell a fanny pack for the transatlantic flight?
Yes.
Well, let me see who's here. Hello, Dynamite.
Hey, Don. What? Turn your radio down, please.
Turn the radio down.
For the love of Christ who died for your sins.
For the love of Christ who died for my sins.
Right. See, I'm trying to work a message in there.
Say what?
Ah, never. F you. Never mind. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ed Rooney's office.
This is George Peterson.
Oh, please hold.
Ed Rooney.
Ed, this is George Peterson.
How are you today, sir?
Well, we've had a bit of bad luck this morning, as you may have heard.
Yeah, I heard, and... Well, I'm all broken up. Boy, what a blow.
Yeah. Well, it's been a tough morning, and we've got a lot of family business to take care of, so if you wouldn't mind excusing Sloan, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Yo, I'd be happy to. Yeah, you just produced a corpse, and... I'll release Sloan.
Did you say you wanted to see a body?
You don't like my policies. You can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
What? Ferris Bueller's online, too.
Yeah, no, I think I owe you an apology, sir.
Well, I should say you do. Well, I think you should be sorry, for Christ's sake. A family member dies, and you insult me. What the hell is the matter with you, anyway?
I really don't know, sir. I mean, I didn't think I was talking to you. I thought I was talking to somebody else. You know, sir, that I would never deliberately insult you like that. I can't begin to tell you how embarrassed I am.
Pardon my
my French, but you're an asshole.
You're absolutely right, sir. You've hit the nail right in the head.
This isn't over yet, Buster. Do you read me?
Buster? Loud and clear, Mr. Peterson.
Call me sir, goddammit.
Yes, sir.
The cure for your anal spasm. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, listen, I think we've mentioned this. Strip trivia on the show Friday.
Oh, boy.
Summer edition of strip trivia. We'll dedicate it to Joe Lieberman, and we will start the trolling on tomorrow's episode. Our survivor guest this week will be one of our favorite celebrities voted off, Jervis.
Jervis.
We'll have Jervis on the show. I think on Wednesday, I think on Survivor Day, we'll have Jervis on.
Very good.
And we have a Vegas style show a week from this Wednesday. Next Wednesday, August 23rd, we will be at Nation in D.C. doing a live Las Vegas style show. Of course, it don't cost nothing to get in. We'd love to see you there. Write it down a week from Wednesday.
Fantastic.
Dennis Miller is on Monday Night Football tonight. Please, I don't want to wake up tomorrow and see everybody dissecting this poor son of a bitch. It's his second game.
Mm-hmm.
Let him get in his routine. Let him get in the flow of the game. Just get off his ass.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Let him have fun. I hope he has more. I hope he relaxes a little bit and has more fun this time.
I mean, if people analyze all of the other football games and announcers as much as Dennis Miller.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, yesterday, I watched part of the Packers game with Madden and Summerall,
mm-hmm.
and they're the best. But John Madden, it was obvious it's his first game of the year.
Right.
He made tons of mistakes. Summerall. Jesus, I mean, he looks like he climbed out of a coffin to do the game with...
Beg your pardon.
With Madden.
Beg your pardon.
He just kept coming back to the fact that he said, John, I can't believe the 20th year together.
There we go. Beg your pardon. I ain't being here.
Beg your pardon?
That's Jarrell David. Beg your pardon, Orlandis Gary on the carry. Beg your pardon. You know, and the thing is, I think with the exception of Madden and a few others, all those guys, color guys, it's not like they don't sit in their hotel room and think about a player or maybe come up with something they're going to say during the game.
Sure.
They all do it. Everybody does it. If you get something that's funny, you think about it. And, you know, Dennis Miller might take it a little further, but don't pick him apart because he's taking the time to maybe come up with something funny. It's not easy to do all the time.
So anyway, get off his ass. That's all I wanted to say. Now,
yeah. Beg pardon.
Let's talk Cunnies. Let's talk Fannies.
Fanny.
Let's call...
The transatlantic flight, they're going to have a fanny pack.
Now, this only works if we get a British person on the phone.
Absolutely.
Thank you for calling British Airways.
She's British.
Today's flight arrivals and departures, press 1.
No.
For reconfirmations, press 2.
No.
For automated fare and schedule information, press 3.
No.
To order a brochure, press 4.
Brochure.
A brochure.
If you are a travel agent, press 5.
No.
All other callers, press 6.
Bravissimo.
I did that, lovey.
Well, we've had a bit of bad luck,
I guess.
Please hold while we connect your call.
To excuse Sloan.
We were at the Redskins game on Saturday. Excuse me, lovey, Friday. And you will not believe the baboons they had in the room next to us.
The smell, the look.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I've got to read this ridiculous card.
Hi, this is British Airways. My name is Corinna. How may I help you?
Hello, love. Hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show. Do you mind going on the air with us for a moment? We have a question about British Airways.
Do I mind what? Oh, sir, I can hardly hear you. Can you understand me well?
Hello, love. This is the Don and Mike radio.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, she didn't even sound all that authentically British anyway. But she sounded like one of those... Speaking Americans that are behind the glass.
That sucks.
Sounded like Wendell Smoot Hall.
This card sucks.
Where's Cargo?
He's an American, too.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Hello?
This is the Don... I better use my real voice. Hi, this is the Don and Mike show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
We have a question about British Air.
Sure.
Okay, great. First, can you tell me, is there somebody British there we could talk to?
No.
Well, you're an American.
Yes.
Right. You know that the British word for C-U-N, Toledo, is Fanny.
Is that right? No.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No.
And next time you want to, if you bump into any of the British people, it might be a fun word to use.
All right.
Just say, hey, put your fanny in that seat.
Got it.
We had a question about fanny packs.
We were going to call British Airways, hopefully speak to a Briton, and we were going to ask if they had free fanny packs available for the transatlantic flight.
Yeah.
There's nobody British where you're working?
No.
All right.
Everyone's from New York.
Everybody's from New York.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Actually, hey, listen, if you want to call the ticket counter, you can call them.
I think that's what we tried. We already got some American who didn't want to go on the air with us.
No, this is cargo.
Oh, we're in cargo now?
No, that was the second number I had.
So how are things in cargo?
Pretty good, pretty good.
What's the most unusual thing you've ever loaded onto an airplane?
As clutch.
Oh.
What's cargo?
Well, we send human remains.
Human remains?
Yeah.
Way to go. Bonus party. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for your time.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, you know what? Let's go back to calling somebody in Britain.
Very good. I think that's the true way to pay dirt. Are you calling a hotel?
Yes.
Does your hotel have a gift shop that sells fanny packs? This is Norm Peterson.
Well, we've had a bit of bad luck, you see. God damn it.
I ordered...
Sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed.
I ordered a grilled cheese sandwich from Confession an hour ago. Now, I realize I paid $272 for this sandwich. But could you get it to me now, please? Please?
Now, look. Quick.
Look, the man's running with a ball, lovey.
Oh.
Look at the man running with a ball.
I'm too busy trying to open this $33 box of peanuts. A bag. Those are a box of peanuts. Where's my $15 cotton candy? Oh, $15. That was last year. Before the new prices went into effect.
I got a number ringing.
Excellent.
I don't know who it is in London. Just a number.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're calling from America.
Sorry. You got the wrong number.
No. No, please don't hang up. Please don't hang up. Do you mind going on the air with us for a second? We're calling you from America.
I don't know what you're talking about, love. I'm in bed, and I think you've got the wrong number.
Okay, love, here's all we want to ask you, love.
Well, I think we've established the fact that the British are not very friendly.
She was a fanny.
That was past her bedtime. She was in bed.
Yeah.
I'm just dialing numbers at random now, love.
British numbers at random?
Yes. I'm using the prefixes.
We're sorry.
Oh, dear. Okay. Due to high volume. My God, is everyone calling the UK at 11:30 in the evening?
Midnight, almost.
44151. We just want to get one tiny little payoff on this old fanny question.
Oh, got a ring with another made-up number.
Excellent.
Actually, it's like 12:30 there.
Yep. Oh,
yeah, because of daylight savings time.
Hello?
I'll just crap with this phone strike. Hard to get a call through. We finally do. We can't get anybody.
All right, hold on.
1-5-1-6-6-6-6. I'm just dialing numbers at random now. I don't have a phone book or anything. No? Got another ring.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello, this is the Don and Mike Show. We're calling you from America. Do you mind going on the air with us for a second?
Quick, cut down there.
What was that?
Repeat that, will you, please?
Hello. Yep. I'm Don, and this is my friend Mike. We're calling you from America.
Hello.
We're doing a radio show. Do you mind going on the air with us for a second?
No, I don't.
Okay, great.
Oh.
Hey, tell me, have you seen any nice fanny recently?
Seen any what?
Have you seen any nice fannies?
No, afraid no, no.
Really? When's the last time you saw a real nice fanny?
Who the hell am I talking to, sir?
This is Don and Mike over here in the United States, and we were just curious as to whether you've run into any nice fannies lately. You ever shag any fannies?
Hey, I think you ought to bleed an edible yourself.
What was that?
I think you ought to edible.
Come on, speak American. We were just asking you if you'd shagged any fannies lately. God damn, I love the shag fannies. How about you?
Well, I'd say you do it, wouldn't you?
Shagging fannies is just about the most bloody fun an American can have.
I think so. Go along with that, yeah.
Well, that's terrific. When's the last time you shagged a fanny?
Oh, it's a long time ago now.
Who's got the nicest fanny in England?
Hey, I would say an Irish fanny, so.
What about Elizabeth Hurley? She's got a nice fanny, right?
Who?
Elizabeth Hurley?
Well, I think we're all tired of the one thing, so, you know. I think if you had one, you had the lot.
Really?
If you had one, you've had the lot.
I think so.
Oh, that's his position on fannies.
Hmm. I've heard that Princess Di had a nice fanny.
Well, I wouldn't know. I've never had it of myself, you know. Have you?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, you haven't.
Yeah. Don't make your mind up.
I shagged Princess Di on her fanny. Sure I did.
Are you lucky?
Her fanny was...
Are you bragging or complaining?
Her fanny was flabby.
Are you bragging or complaining?
I think he's complaining.
I think so.
Hey, what about the Queen Mum's dry old fanny?
That's overrated.
That's what? That's a 100-year-old fanny.
Well, good luck to her, if she knows how to use it.
If she knows how to use it.
Funny, really.
See, there you go. What we think is funny is the word fanny in America, it means your bum. But in your country, fanny means
something else.
What would they call it in England?
Hello?
I'm so confused.
I don't know. Am I calling England right now?
Yeah.
Whereabouts today? Are you in London?
No, well, I'm Bazakri.
What?
Bazakri, Kirby.
Listen, who knows?
Who can make out what these people are saying?
I don't know.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Hold on. Mike has a message for you. Maybe you'll understand this.
Come on, Mike.
That's sponsorable. Uh-huh. Egars.com, the hottest cigar site on the planet.
Good day to you, sir.
And good evening to you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
Very well.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
What's this all about, like, you know?
We just wanted to find out about whether you've seen any good fannies. Don't worry a little bit about it. Just go right back to sleep.
Thank you very much for nothing.
All right, goodbye.
Thank
bye
you.
Bye, Mike.
Bye bye. See you later. Bye-bye. See you later, pal.
He's locked on the mic.
And me, what? I'm chopped liver.
I gave him a more personal greeting.
I guess so. Goodbye. Hello?
I think he's gone.
Stupid fag country.
What are you calling him a stupid cigarette country for?
Clear the line. He's going to call 100 right now. Yeah, that's what I meant, because in Britain, a fag is a cigarette.
A cigarette. Do you have a fag?
Call 100. A chance to win the big bucks right now.
Could you spare a fag?
877-365-3636. That is the phone number. We have the secret sound one more time on today's show.
I've got a whole pack of fags. I keep them in my fanny.
And we'll give you a shot of the money now if you're the 100th caller. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
Two horny, nasty guys waiting to please you. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, time for call 100. And let's hope it's you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm caller 100.
Right, yes you are. What's your name?
It's Bill.
Bill, where are you from?
At Leesburg.
My girl, Bill. Bill walked me to my door last night, and he said, before I go, there's something about our love affair that I think you should know.
My girl, Bill.
My telling the stories on the radio.
Girl, Bill. My girl, Bill. Can't say enough about the way I feel about my girl.
My girl.
My girl.
My girl, Bill.
our tribute to Jim Stafford.
Yeah. What a great, and really, he'll be in Branson all week.
Muskrat love.
Check him out.
No, that's Captain
Tennille. Captain Tennille.
Yep.
You won 25 Durex condoms. And how about the way you and I both got very assertive with him?
Oh, because we know our Captain Tennille and Jim Stafford.
He'll love the way it's supposed to feel. Set yourself free with the most exciting condoms ever made. Durex condoms. What was your name?
Bill.
Right, Bill. My girl, Bill. Where are you calling from?
Leesburg.
All right, chance to go for $500 right now. Were you doing your muskrat sound?
Yes, I was. I'm sorry. Okay. I had muskrat. You know, as soon as you mentioned that wonderful song, that wonderful ditty.
Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Fam.
What's the next part of it, though?
I don't know.
I know.
Who knows?
Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam.
I don't know. Eating each other's fannies with berries and jam.
You know, when I go to London, I get really stressed out. I have to get a pack and suck on a fag.
All right, you're going to go for the big money now.
We wish you the very best of luck.
Listen, leave the driving to us, okay? Hello?
Got it.
Okay, here you go. We'll play you the sound. And even if you get it right, there's no way you're winning. But no, I kid because I love.
Of course you do.
Please don't answer until Mike says like.
An old friend, Robert Goulet.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There's the sound. While you're thinking about it, a question for you. Anybody ever told you you're funny?
Obviously not.
And the odds are in my favor. Yes!
Yeah!
Well, that's too bad because you're hysterically funny.
Really, you're slab nuts funny.
Funny man.
What is the sound for $500?
Is that Rob A. crushing a beer can on his head?
Right. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Jackie.
Hold on, please. For the love of God, use those condoms. Okay?
Really? I'd be glad to.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's Rob crushing a beer can on his head.
Thank you. Remember, almost every guest
for you
is a clue for you.
Yeah.
And we even threw that guy our special tribute to Jim Stafford, and still, look, we got that dumbass guest out of here.
I know. It's very frustrating.
It's time now for the news and the comments.
Yes, it is.
With Guy Birdley. I say with Guy Birdley.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
verboten,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Right.
He made it up.
My fellow Republican. What is your lead story tonight, Buzz?
Can the submarine guys be saved?
Who are the submarine guys?
You haven't heard. There are guys trapped in a submarine at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, they're Russian.
I've not heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
You'll hear.
Well, Rob, get the submarine sound effect ready. We're ready for every situation. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestpot?
America's favorite turgid talkers, Don and Mike.
Hold on, the hotline's ringing. Hold on there, Buzzy. Hello, hotline.
Oh, I dialed the wrong number. It's Kristen, lane closure.
Oh, hi, Lane.
Hi, Lane.
How are you?
Hi. And now we might all know that, yes, she has another name that you might see on the TV.
That's okay. And I just had this conversation with Rob. Like, Rob, how am I going to get in touch with you if I need you? He goes, well, don't call the hotline.
That's just what you did.
We'd like
to welcome Lane Closure to the Don and Mike Show right now.
Yeah, she's never actually heard on the air.
Yeah.
Well, only in Washington.
That's terrific.
Doing our wonderful traffic reports around this disgusting beltway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I really want to say all the time?
What?
Is how do you people do this every single day?
Right. I'll tell you something that we've actually seen her. She came out to a Las Vegas-style show.
She did indeed.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Let me tell you, that is the most naked I've ever seen a group of people in my whole entire life.
Do you consider yourself to have a nice fanny?
Well, you know, I look good in jeans.
Ah, so you have a nice fanny?
Ah, yeah. We've been discussing the fanny today.
Oh, the fanny.
See, she's in a room where she can't even hear the show. Right. She, like, does the TV station and does a bunch of radio stations.
But you gave us the American answer, and we'll accept that.
Well, what do most people say? Do most people, are they proud to say they have a good butt?
No, we've been discussing the British term fanny.
No, fanny means... Fanny in England means
the other side.
C-U-N Toledo.
Right. I'm with you. I'm with you, Don.
I mean, it's like the worst thing you can call a woman. That's what. That's instead of saying the C word,
if you call her a fanny. If you call her a fanny, but of course.
When I was a kid, my mother used to refer to it as your front bummy.
Your front bummy.
Front bummy.
Hey, see, you learn something every day on this show.
All right, hold on. Rob will pick up the line.
Thank you much.
You're right.
Hold on.
The lane closure right there. Yeah.
She's marvelous.
She's here all week.
Lane closure.
I gave her that name. Thank you. You know, people ask me, where did she get her name?
Yeah.
And I forgot.
Get it?
You gave it.
Lane closure.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Get it, lane closure.
Lane closure.
Goddamn. What ones did you roll through before you settled on lane closure?
That was it.
It's pretty damn good.
That was it. Lane closure is the only one.
I got a guy in a fairway saying, is that her real name? And I recognize it. Yeah, okay. Just hit your eight iron.
All right. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A Russian nuclear submarine is trapped on the ocean floor near the Arctic Circle with more than 100 crew members on board.
For the birds, Boris.
The Russians say the sub was involved in a major collision and suffered serious damage. They say the chances of rescuing the crew are not good since the sub's some 450 feet down.
Buzz, we're going to make contact with them in just a moment as soon as I get the uplink here. You go ahead. I'll let you know when we get the uplink.
Well, my next line was the radio's out, but research rescuers have heard survivors tapping on the hull.
No, the radio's not out.
Oh,
we have a transmission
fixed.
Now. Here it is.
Hello, darlings. This is Natasha from Bullwinkle Show.
Listen.
I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Oh, for the birds, Bodie.
She doesn't sound nervous at all.
No. She's
very calm. And, in fact, some experts are confident that they can be rescued. One expert says the crew can survive for about a month on the oxygen they're able to manufacture if this sub is like its British counterparts. And, of course, that expert isn't there, so the expert has no way of knowing if that equipment's still working or not. Another expert says the crew members could rocket to the surface, float to the surface. That's been done before by British submarine personnel who've gone 600 feet up to the surface.
Not just playing our oppressive Russian music that we play whenever we're censored by the company.
That's incredible because you would just play that music and say, the sub is at the bottom of the ocean. My God, what will we do? The Russians say they'll make a decision on how or if they can rescue those sailors tomorrow. Man, what do you do, really, if you've got a month of air and they've already made the determination that they're not going to be able to come and get you?
Right. You have a super big party. F them.
Yeah.
F them. Thank you for your sensitivity.
Move on to more important things.
Enjoy.
Like, when am I going to get the DLC that I ordered? It's the second quarter already. The Redskins are winning by 2 runs. Where's my BLT?
Excuse me, waiter. Waiter, my friend here would like to know where his $87 sandwich is.
Thank you.
The engineer's touching himself again.
Oh.
And where's his game day attire?
He's not wearing it. For God's sakes, don't roll that equipment across the cherry molding.
Ford says those bad Firestone tires were made at one plant in Illinois where strike breakers filled in for striking workers.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Mm-hmm. The strike lasted about 10 months. The company says the strike had nothing to do with the tires' problems. 6.5 million tires have been recalled after being linked to hundreds of accidents and at least 46 casualties.
Buzz, once again, here I am, Johnny on the spot, doing your job for you. I have exclusive tape. Inside the factory.
Thank God. Where they make the tires?
Yes.
Well, cool.
Let's go inside the factory, please.
Let's go now.
Charlie, how does it go?
I remember Joe. Righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Right.
They're the strike breakers. Folks in the Washington area are still talking about the female teacher accused of having sex with a 12-year-old male student.
Nice bush.
Catherine P.A. was found in a car in a suburban park at about 3 o'clock in the morning with the student on a school day.
You see this pig on television?
I had heard she's big. I haven't seen her.
Jesus Christ.
Actually.
I mean, like,
I saw a still picture of her.
I understand that a 12-year-old boy might be horny.
Right.
But that horny? She looked like Warren Sapp. Really? She's a black Kathy Whiteside.
Mm-hmm. She was English teacher last year and his summer school teacher this year.
Yeah, Cherie, black Kathy Whiteside. Now I'm turgid.
The relationship reportedly began last month. She says they did it about four times.
Yeah.
For this, she faces up to 65 years in prison. The teacher was to have faced a bond hearing today, but that was postponed when she learned that, well, here's a surprise, the teacher's union lawyer she was expecting won't be representing her after all.
Oh, that's a shame.
Now, stay cool. Stay cool.
I'm sorry, it's too much of a hot potato.
Now she's checking to see if she's eligible for a public defender. No way I could see myself at a parent-teacher meeting interacting with O.J. Simpson. Those are the words of a parent at the private school in Miami where Simpson's kids start next week. It's one of the most exclusive private schools in Florida at $12,000 per student per year. School officials say they'll be treated just like any other kids.
Oh, right, FMOA. Future Murderers of America.
But parents are divided, with one woman saying she'll pull her kids out of the school. The Simpson's also been having trouble house hunting down there because of protests from his would-be neighbors, according to today's New York Post.
An electrician from Annapolis, Maryland, says he's been rear-ended twice. Once by a car driven by General Colin Powell, and again in traffic court. Ed Nolan says the former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff rammed his wife's classic Mercedes...
Rammed her right in the fanny.
...into Ed's Chevy Silverado pickup on the Washington, D.C. Beltway.
Oh, that's wild stuff, Ed.
Normally, if you do the rear-ending, the law says you're at fault. In this case, the judge...
Did Colin do the rear-ending?
Yes, Colin did the rear-ending.
Oh, man, that's nice.
And normally, you'd be found at fault in that situation, but in this case, the
judge... Not if you're Colin. Not if you're a famous Colin.
The judge found Ed at fault. Exactly.
Of course.
The judge believes
the power. Four-star Colin gets off.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing like a four-star Colin when you're a rear-ender.
The judge believes Powell, who argued that Ed caused the accident by changing lanes in front of him. But Ed says Powell was going way over the speed limit, and he says he's thinking about suing.
Suing Colin.
Democratic vice presidential hopeful Joe Lieberman was at it again over the weekend.
Here you go.
Yesterday.
There you go. Every news guy.
This is the latest. This is concerns the show, you see.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
You just pipe down there, Mike.
Yesterday, he again accused Hollywood of corrupting the nation's children and our culture, and he warned that Washington could impose legal restrictions on the entertainment industry if its leaders refused to draw some lines themselves.
Well, I'm proud to be a Republican, because at least I know I'm free.
They played that at the convention in Philadelphia.
Did they really?
I swear to God they did. They were up on stage. It's like, you don't hear that song enough. You know what I mean? They did play it at the convention.
And Lieberman says he'll continue his campaign if the Gore ticket is elected. In the past, Lieberman's proposed yanking the licenses of TV stations that refuse to toe the line. Now, tonight, Lieberman will hobnob with entertainment moguls in Hollywood, but that's not as strange as it sounds, considering the event is sponsored by Microsoft, which is fighting the Clinton administration over antitrust violations, and Koch Industries, which is being investigated by the Justice Department.
Right, gotcha. Hold on. You got more there, or can we break?
No, we can break here.
All right, break right there. Do you want to make a statement yet about who you're going to vote for?
You know, I spoke in anger earlier today, and I think I'd like to change my vote to neither.
Come on, really? Who are you going to vote for, really?
I think I'm going
to
say neither.
I think Mike has a comment on that.
Neither has a comment on that.
Mike?
He's not happy. I can tell.
Right after there, Buzz.
Thank you, Mike.
That's a good one, Mike.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That's sponsorable.
Thank you.
Egars.com, the hottest cigar site on the planet.
All right.
Yeah. Democracy.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Hold on, Buzz. More news, more comments coming late.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What the hell do you think you're doing here? You're out of the business for good. Forever.
Will you just listen a minute?
Shut up! You shut your mouth once and for all.
They'll see you in Toledo. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right, Fanny. I was just in the production room. Turned on the TV. Want to see the beginning of Dennis Miller.
Yes.
On Monday Night Football.
Another 7 p.m. start tonight.
Right. So they went to Dan South first. Then they go to Eric Dickerson, who's a tool. Then they go to Melissa Stark, who's nothing but a POA.
Right.
Then they go to Dennis Miller. You got to love the guy. He's already got his tie undone. At a jaunty angle. He's more like Ben Franklin glasses.
Okay?
So Al Michaels says, the professorial Dennis Miller here. What do you think? And I'm trying to remember the stuff that he said just in the 30 seconds I watched.
But it's too Dennis Miller-y, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's funny, but it's big words. And
right.
All I remember is the very last thing he said. So that's it. Back to you, Albino.
That's good. So maybe a little more relaxed this time? Was that your impression of seeing the beginning?
Yeah. And the other thing I noticed, when I was waiting for Dennis Miller to come on, I was flipping around Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 9. On Channel 4, I guess they're doing the news, the NBC Nightly News, and they were doing that submarine story that Buzz was just talking about. Mm-hmm. You know who they had on as the expert?
Who?
Tom friggin' Clancy. It's a guy who writes made-up books.
Mm-hmm.
He's the expert?
Well, you know, if there was a ghost on that submarine, they'd have Stephen King.
Yeah, right. It's like during the O.J. trial, how come they don't say, we have John Grisham with us tonight. John Grisham's written a lot of books about trials and junk.
And if there's ever a sex story, I have to just have Vera Hollander.
Ah, so call me madam.
Oh, wow.
Hold on, Mike's got nothing left for him.
Man, oh, man. All right, here's who else made it.
Yeah, he's not happy at all.
Egars.com.
I can tell.
Thank you. The hottest cigar site on the planet, Egars.com.
All right.
Hi, Buzz.
Well, hi, Donna, Mike. And while we're still wrestling,
Buzzito,
while we're still wrestling with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the British Air Force now has its first transsexual pilot.
Hi.
39-year-old...
Where'd they put my family?
39-year-old Flight Lieutenant Eric Cookson is now Carolyn Page of the Royal Air Force.
Hey, they got me a family.
The helicopter navigator's on sick leave as she recovers from the surgery.
Oh.
She will be tested to make sure she's fit to fly, but if she passes, the brass will let her fly again.
She'll be back riding the bike in no time.
Former Cookson flew regular missions in Phantom F4 and Hawk fighter planes. He took up helicopters just before serving in Bosnia and the Persian Gulf. Now, she says she can't wait to fly again, and she says her colleagues have been very supportive and loyal. TV notes.
Okay.
Oscar-nominated ex-con Robert Downey Jr. is joining Ally McBeal this fall as Calista Flockhart's love interest.
Won't help that show.
He'll get $100,000 a show for each of 8 shows. Sally Field will turn up on 6 episodes of ER.
Oh, yes.
Charles Grodin, maybe the next Andy Rooney. He's the new commentator on 60 Minutes 2.
Yes!
Barbara Walters is developing a male version of The View. The working title is Guys, and you're going to love this. The panelists so far include Danny Bonaducci and Dick Clark.
Oh, God.
Representing the men of America.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We're doomed when that show gets on the air.
The world is ending. Jeff Probst said he knew he'd take some heat for some of the corny stuff they make him say on Survivor, but he says he didn't know it'd be this much heat. He tells TV Guide he's lucky to be a part of the show, even if he has to say things like, fire represents life. And he says he's glad they didn't choose a bigger name like Regis or Dick Clark.
Imagine Regis in his khakis. Bony knees. If you really want to see the host of Survivor in an embarrassing role, watch Rock and Roll Jeopardy on VH1.
That's his most embarrassing role.
Yes, I was watching it over the weekend, and the contestants were Andy Dick.
oh, there's trouble.
What's her name? Xena, the warrior princess.
Oh, yes, she's hot.
And a third, a celebrity whose level is even lower than those two.
Danny Bonaducci.
No. Nothing lower than that, Mike. That's how you know you've hit the rock bottom.
Man, oh, man. Andy Dick. In other Survivor news, Sean the Idiot Doctor is serious as a heart attack about cashing in on his 15 minutes of fame.
Good luck.
Entertainment Weekly says Sean quit his real-life doctor job and hired 3 showbiz agents. He's already landed a spot as a doctor.
Stay cool.
He's going to be a doctor on The Guiding Light. Think Joey from Friends.
That's Don, Joe, and Elliot. The Ephraim Gang from Chicago.
Those are the 3 agents he's hired. Sean has also written a sexually graphic novel called Schizo. And every week the show's ratings get bigger and set a new record. Last week the crowd was up to 28 million. That's 8 million more than all the other networks combined.
And for our Survivor Wednesday, every Wednesday we have somebody on. This week we're going to have Jervis, who will probably be the most fun to talk to of anybody that's been on the island thus far.
Yeah, he was my pick, and I want to find out how he got screwed.
It'll be fun.
In real life, Ray Romano's brother is really a cop, so the New York Police Department thought it would be a good idea to have the two of them appear together at a news conference announcing a new recruitment drive.
Everybody loves Dynamite.
The two of them even appeared in a newspaper ad in which Ray says, as an adult, I grew to admire him and what he did for a living.
I love you, Raymond.
He puts his life on the line.
Brother, and I'll tell you right now, let's go get some more cops.
He puts his life on the line, and I tell jokes about diapers.
But at the news conference, Ray's brother Rich said he was at the breaking point and that he plans to resign the New York Police Department.
I'm at the breaking point. I can't stand it. I really can't stand it, Raymond.
Quoting him.
You dragged me out in front of everybody. I'll tell you right now, I'm about to be sick to my stomach. I'm just going to snap.
I have 20 years of service, and monetarily it really doesn't pay right now with the incentive you get to retire.
Everybody loves the police department.
NYPD's recruitment is at an all-time low, and that isn't helped by the $100,000 ad campaign from the cops union talking about the low pay and constant criticism.
One more there, Buzzy. Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me take a call for you. Hi, Don Mike's show.
Hey, this is Mike. Am I on?
Yes, Mike. Hi.
Hey, yeah, I was calling last night. I was watching Millionaire, and the $2,000 question, the lady was on, and she said, they asked her on the TV show Survivor on July 12th when the tribes merged, they didn't know the name, and she had to call a friend, and her friend didn't know it either, and the lady got it wrong, and Reed just snapped at the angles. Jeez, I thought everyone was watching that show.
Oh, Reed, just what a whip. You had to love that, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Put the question in.
Yeah, they probably stopped taking the way they always do to correct Regis's mistake.
Yeah.
She probably got it right, and then they just redid it.
Get it wrong. Don't worry. We'll give you a small check. Well, you know, he's looking up at Survivor.
Yes, he is.
Survivor's kicking that Millionaire show's ass.
Yeah. Survivor's got a fur coat on and breasts rubbing up against it.
There you go.
Regis still hasn't commented on his affair.
No intercourse, though.
No.
No intercourse.
Everything but. Touching, fingers, kissing, fannies,
licking.
Kathy Lee Gifford may soon be on TV opposite Regis.
Auntie!
She's doing a Today Show concert.
Annie say!
A Today Show concert in late October. And by then, the Today Show will have expanded by another hour, which could put her up against Regis on a lot of stations. It'll be her first morning TV appearance since leaving the Regis Show last month.
Honey, play anything. I think Mike has another message for you, Buzz.
Hey, Kathy Lee, I'd like you to meet Ralph Nader.
For Kathy Lee and Ralph.
Egar is the hottest cigar site on the planet.
Thank you.
They sponsor our live on-air farts.
Oh. Kathy Lee gets three songs, all performed live and outdoors. She's doing it to promote her new CD of so-called pop music. Other Today Show concerts have featured much bigger acts, including Ricky Martin, Britney Spears, Sting, NSYNC, Santana, Prince, and Don Henley.
Yeah, but they all get to perform, like, when people really want,
between
7 and 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, put her on at 9:30.
Yeah,
you old fanny. Yeah, come on, fanny.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
For the news and comments, sign now for a call, 100.
Yeah.
And a prize package is collected especially for you.
Yeah.
Be the 100th caller, phone number 877-365-3636.
Ah, get your fanny over here, Mrs. Gifford.
Call number 100.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. Paging Dr. Homo. Paging Dr. Homo. We need you in the air studio. Stat. Two of God's little brown gems, Don and Mike.
Well, listen, I just found out that tomorrow should be an interesting day. After all the talk we've done about the Redskins,
yes,
and the way the people in the broadcast are treated on Friday,
mm-hmm.
I'm going out there tomorrow to do some interviews.
Hey, they're going to be putting the welcome mat out for you.
So I'll let you know what happens. He's here. Double lock the door. Don't let him in.
Look, and he's not wearing his non-game day attire.
That is not your weekly interview attire. This is scholarship winner.
Hello, Buzz.
In sports, NFL tackle Jumbo Elliott's coming out of retirement. He rejoined the New York Jets today and practiced for the first time as a backup to Jason Fabini. Before he retired 5 months ago, Elliott spent four seasons with the Jets as a starter.
Did you meet one of those guys that got in trouble for beating the crap out of some guy in a bar not too long ago?
Yeah, I think it was a bouncer that he kicked the crap out of.
Suspended for two games for that, for his part in a bar brawl last year, but he's appealing that suspension later this week.
He's really not that bad a guy.
Nah, he's all right.
He's a nice man.
It's an old Jumbo. Finally, they may never find the time capsule, the graduating class buried at a high school in suburban Minneapolis 25 years ago. The class reunion had to skip the part about the time capsule because no one could remember where it was buried.
I don't know, Mom. I don't know where it is.
You don't know how close you are. One graduate says he believes that some of the kids returned to the site about 5 years after graduation and dug it up so they could retrieve the champagne and marijuana that had been buried in the time capsule.
Hey, Mom, I know where there's some awesome stuff. It's just somewhere around here. Where's your dog's shovel? Oh, Mom, I forgot it. I only brought a wrench.
No, we are so screwed.
Hey, my dad has a bitchin' set of tools.
That's called Joe Ardinger. Mr. Hand.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Oh, yes, we've got to go, Mike.
No!
You didn't say it tonight, but I know you meant it in your heart.
I know.
We've got to go back tomorrow with the all-new episode. Tomorrow I'll be trolling for Strip Trivia.
Strip Trivia!
Great prize we're giving away on Friday. Trip for two to the White Stallion Guest Ranch in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, you get to meet the White Stallion.
You're looking at it.
That's right, Don. I think we should tell everybody it's out of the bag now.
Don will be going on the trip.
The Superstation WTBS presents the Superstation original movie High Noon at 8 p.m. this Sunday on TBS Superstation. Courage stands alone. Don't miss High Noon Sunday at 8 on TBS Superstation.
Fantastic, there. This is the White Stallion.
We are going to start the trolling tomorrow for Strip Trivia. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Am I calling 100 or are you up?
No, I'm sorry, you're not. Thank you, though.
All right.
Good effort. Thank you.
Good night.
Don and Mike Show.
I am the 100th caller.
Right. What's your name?
Darren Huff.
Darren, where are you from?
Spokane, Washington.
You're not related to the Huff who hates me, are you?
Not at all.
You have won 25 direct condoms.
I'll put them to good use.
And somebody better tell Tammy that I've run out of condoms now.
Oh, my God.
It's the last box.
Oh, no.
At 25 direct condoms, feel love the way it's supposed to feel. Set yourself free with the most exciting condoms ever made. Direct condoms. Thank you for listening in Spokane.
Thank you.
Where they run the entire show every day on K-Fan Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
While you were teasing, I forgot to mention, Wednesday is Elvis' death day.
Oh, so Wednesday we'll have a giant Elvis is Still Dead show.
At 23.
And Wednesday, Jervis from Survivor.
I wonder how he'll feel about Elvis' decomposing corpse.
We would have voted him off the island years ago.
And Rob, I know that you play on the Elvis shows.
Yes.
This year I want lots of Elvis drinking cough syrup out of champagne glasses with girls. Maybe the one again about Elvis shooting out the cameras in the backyard in the swimming pool.
And is there a chance we can get that specific part about where he put the peas and the mashed potatoes on his chest and ate
like
it with his hands?
Like that food article again? We can pull out the food article.
Yeah. We got our favorites. All right. So Strip Trivia this week. Elvis is still dead this week.
Wow.
All of that still to come. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And Robbie.
Please throw your coonskin cap in the air.
Just like Sydney.
Oops.
Tyler. There it is. More.
You might not make it after all.
What happened?
I almost got it in his mouth. I almost put it in his mouth. I didn't get it in his mouth, though.
I couldn't see.
I didn't.
Did you get it in his mouth?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We'll see you. See you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.